Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State's Carnell Tate is the first Buckeye to declare for the 2026 NFL Draft. Tate had 59 catches and 9 touchdowns in 2025. He's likely a top 10 pick in April. The Buckeyes lost another wideout to the transfer portal Tuesday. Former 5-star receiver Quincy Poirier became the 19th Buckeye to announce a transfer. He's the third receiver to go portaling. The window's open until next Friday. Running back James Peoples committed to Penn State yesterday. Defensive back Bryce West is heading to Wisconsin. In the NFL, the Ravens fired John Harbaugh yesterday after 18 seasons in Baltimore. That makes 7 NFL jobs currently open, including the Browns. In the NHL last night, the Blue Jackets fell to the Sharks 5-2 in San Jose. They're in Las Vegas Thursday. And in college hoops, Ohio State heads west for a 2-game road trip that starts Thursday at Oregon. Buckeyes are at Washington on Sunday. We'll have the Jake Diebler radio show coming your way today at noon right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Bo, the boys with you for the next three. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your questions in. We had requests last week on the YouTube chat to extend Hey Guys into two segments. So now the owner, if that is the case, and I'm willing to workshop it and test drive it today, the onus will then be on you to make sure, and I hate doing that, but that's the only way that Hey Guys is going to work, is if there is the full participation that is required for a two segment Hey Guys. So it's in play. We're going to test drive it. We're going to workshop it. We'll see if it works, but that potentially could happen at 11. Go ahead, Reese.
We'll also bribe the listeners. We do have the $50 gift card, the distillery tour, and the whiskey tasting to our friends at High Bank.
That's right.
It's a new year, but nothing's changed.
No, that stays. That stays. This is what we do. We're giving. We're a benevolent show. This is what we do. 10 o'clock, we'll do a little higher. Lower Jake Trotter at 10:30. Spencer Holbrook on the portal, if you can make sense of it. He'll try to at 11:30. And, of course, you're officially endorsed. Okay, what did you say in the update there, Reese? 19 in the portal?
They go portaling to find a greener pasture. It's my best attempt at a Krogering jingle.
That's not bad. That's not bad. You're going to have to build a football team a different way. And Ohio State is, I think they knew it. I think that they are prepared for it. I do believe that the folks up the street have a plan. I believe they're following that plan. I understand how a great many of you out there are in panic mode. I get it. 19 guys in the portal. And certainly with what happened yesterday with Quincy, you have something that you would have said, well, that never has happened, right? Where someone who is of that regard from a recruit standpoint, bailed that quickly. Like you don't typically see that, or you hadn't typically seen it, but I think you will going forward. I think there are a couple of things that you can do to combat this. Some of it you can't do anything about. I think one thing that Ohio State is going to have to consider doing if they are going to still try to put the onus on the recruiting classes, which I wouldn't. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. I would not pay a premium for recruits anymore. I wouldn't. Unless it's Jeremiah Smith, Julian saying like a surefire can't miss. I just wouldn't. I would put the onus on 3- and 4-star guys who potentially, hopefully, have loyalty, that are willing to be developed. I think that's why it was so crazy with the two defensive backs from Ohio. I think that's what was kind of shocking about that, is those are guys who were keyed for big moments, and they still went looking for bigger paychecks other places and potentially found them. So, but I think that's what you got to do. I would not pay a premium for five-star players. I just wouldn't. I don't think it matters to the extent that it used to anymore, the way that the portal is done. And I would put the majority of your resources towards known commodities in the portal. And we're at a point now where basically, officially or not, the entire sport is in the portal in this window. And the adults in the room drove it here. We've been over it 1,000 times on how we got to this point. And it's here to stay until they do what they should have done 10 years ago, which is collectively bargain this, call them professionals, give them contracts the same way they have coaching contracts. It's the only thing that fixes it. You guys are probably so sick of hearing me say it. I've been saying it for a decade around here, that that's the only way to fix it. And they continue to not do it. And so this is what you get. So you're going to have to pivot on how to build a team. And you're going to need probably 30 to 35, 40 guys on a roster that you're going to have on the roster that are willing to be developed in a traditional way. The rest of the roster is going to be premium, high pay players, and you're going to have to decide where to disperse that money. And it's not the NFL, so there's not a finite amount of money. It's however many boosters you can convince to give you money. And you're going to have to rely on that to find difference makers. And nobody likes this. Nobody likes it, except for, the kids. I'm sure they like some of it. I'm sure they like the money and the instant gratification and all of that, because they're kids and that's what kids like. But nobody in the sport likes this. No coach likes this. Nobody covering it likes this. Fans don't like this. I mean, the traditional way that you viewed your college football team is completely upside down at the moment. Now, I do think the one thing that Ohio State could have done better last year with some of this is if they had played with tempo. And I think if you bury people and you get up 35-0 on some of these garbage teams and you go let Mylon Graham and Quincy Porter and these guys go eat in the second half, let them sling it all over the place, catch passes, play real football. Like, don't worry about trying to milk clock or anything like that. Play them all. Like, get them all time and play them. I would not hold back red shirts. I wouldn't do the 4-game thing. I wouldn't do any of that nonsense. Like, I would go. I would absolutely go, and I would let all of those kids play. And I think if you're going to try to still put the onus on development, if you're going to try to put the onus still on massive recruiting classes, five-star kids, you can't have them sit. They have to play. And this is something Brian has always had a very tight leash on the receivers in terms of who got to play. It was something that, look, you pay your dues and then you get to, there's no paying dues anymore, guys. Paying dues is over. Nobody's paying dues. And I see Blake Scray just wiping his face because the reality of this sucks, but this is the reality. And there's no get off my lawn that's going to change it. This is where we are. Until they professionalize it, this is where we're going to stay. And Ohio State in real time is changing the way that they build a football team. They're doing it in real time right now. And it's something we're all just going to have to get used to. But those are kind of the only two remedies that I see. But the approach on how to build a football team is different. The days of multiple five stars sitting on your bench and not playing, it's over. It's done. And if you're going to still take those guys and pay those guys, then you have to pay them. Play them.
There are so many things I'm thinking of, Bo, while you are just going through that. The one I'm thinking of, all the Ohio State fans, and I get it. Oh, my gosh. Quincy Porter is in the transfer portal. And oh, my gosh, yep. Mylon Graham is in the portal. What are we going to do with all these receivers? How many receivers did you play this year?
Yeah.
You played three for the most part, and that was it. What was the thing that killed Ohio State at the end of the year? It was probably offensive line play. You can't have it all. Like, I understand it's Ohio State, but there is only so much money that you can give. And we talk about there's a ton of money. You're right, but they're giving it to a lot of players. So if you want offensive line, you're going to have to sacrifice wide receiver 5, 6, and 7. Especially when you've got Jeremiah Smith at the top. And then I'm thinking, you're saying, well, maybe use tempo to appease all these guys. I don't care about these guys. I care about winning, right? And if you think, and I think we all think tempo would have helped Ohio State this year. But if you think the best way to win football games and get to a national championship, a Big Ten championship, the college football playoff, all of those things, is slowing it down, I really don't care who I tick off because I want to win in the long run. And then I think of CJ Hicks, and you talk about there's no more red shirts. And I don't know if CJ Hicks would have helped Ohio State this year at all. He obviously just was not good enough to crack the rotation and be a player that played consistently here at Ohio State. But I mean, if you needed him this year, you better have played him because you just sat him for him to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I all these things, as you're talking about that, I have all these thoughts and emotions just flooding into my head with all of this.
I also yesterday thought about Ohio State's senior day against Rutgers, where David Adolf got the start at wide receiver. And it wasn't until like the third quarter until I think they even tried to go to Bryson Rogers. And I wonder in those situations, if you want to at least show these guys that like there's a path to getting on the field, like the Mylon Graham, the Quincy Porter, or the Bryson Rogers, do it then when Jeremiah and Carnell aren't playing.
Well, and I think that was Mylon Graham. Bryson Rogers started that game, I believe.
He didn't record a reception.
But Mylon Graham didn't come in until the second half, and that's maybe that was your first thought with like.
That's what I thought yesterday. I'm like
maybe, he wasn't as good as he was set out to be.
Yes. And that's why I wouldn't pay him anymore in recruiting. I wouldn't get into a bidding war in recruiting. And I think it's something that there was a traditional way to build college football teams for 125 years. And it was amplified really in the last 15 with super uber recruiters like Urban and Saban. Urban and Saban are two of the 5-6 best coaches in the history of the sport. You want to know a big reason why? They had the most talent consistently. Go take a look at the recruiting classes that Urban and Saban brought in. And the more recent example of this has been Ryan and Kirby. Like, this isn't, it's not rocket science. They had the most talent. If you have the most talent, you can win. And you can still do it that way, but it's different. It's different now. It's older talent. It's proven talent. It's known commodities. I would not get into a bidding war for a recruit. I would not. Unless it's Jeremiah Smith. And how many of those come around that are surefire, can't miss, go from day one starter dudes? There aren't many. Do you want to spend time developing a quarterback, or would you rather just take Sam Leavitt out of the portal, who's already developed? I mean, this is how the sport has changed. It feels like in a blink of an eye, but it's actually been a gradual move towards this over the last half decade since all of this started to come into place and nobody put guardrails on any of it. It's been the Wild West for 5 years. Now it's just hitting home for us.
I mean, three of the four semifinalists have portal backs.
Oh, my gosh.
They just got to, I mean, Ferris State developed Trinidad Chambliss, Fernando Mendoza.
Four of them do, Reese.
Dante Moore
started at UCLA with Chip Kelly. He started for a full year at UCLA. All four of them are transfer quarterbacks.
Yep.
No, this is different. It's and you're Ohio State is figuring this out on the fly. And if you're looking for the most extreme example of how absurd it is, we will get into that story coming up next at the quarterback position. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here. And I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
It's really been amazing.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In the old
old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show.
But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand.
You have no excuses, the Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect skies to be mostly cloudy today, but still mild with above average temperatures in the upper 40s. And then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with lows around freezing. For Thursday, a dry day ahead with mostly cloudy skies and warmer with highs in the mid to upper 50s. Rain develops late Thursday night, overnight into Friday with gusty winds and lows in the 50s. For the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place.
Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. With friends like these. Who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
So this story happened yesterday. Over the weekend, Damon Williams, the quarterback at Washington, actually... They made a big deal about it. They put it out that he had signed in a contract.
We love seeing those.
A contract.
We can't say contract.
At Washington. Well, it's a contract in every way except for the way that a contract is supposed to work, which is it's supposed to tie people to what's agreed to in the contract. So it's kind of like the Seinfeld line where they, you know how to take the reservation. It's the holding the reservation that's the important part. That's kind of what's happening here. So. This guy takes, they make a big deal about it. They put it all on social. And he was a really good player. I mean, he's a dangerous quarterback, good player. Announced that he's recommitted and he signed a contract and he's staying at Washington. Well, that changed. Why did that change? Because my guess is somebody reached out to Damon Williams, probably somebody in desperate need of a quarterback who maybe thought they were getting a different quarterback and said,
Lane Kiffin.
could be. Although Sam Levitt was sitting courtside last night. So who knows? So. He then jumps in the portal. Now, he has a do not contact tag in the portal. Understand, sometimes I have to remind myself of this. We're knee deep in the muck on this, so this is all normal to us. If you're out there driving around, you're listening to this, there is complete free agency in college athletics. There are no contracts. And while there are officially people in the portal, basically everybody is always in the portal. And it's, there's supposed to be rules against tampering, but there's no way to police any of it. There's no punitive arm whatsoever. There's no clearinghouse. There's nothing. It's just whatever you want it to be. So clearly somebody contacted Williams and said, what is Washington paying you? Oh, well, we can up that. And it's very possible in The Athletic reporting this that Williams already has a landing spot in mind. Notable schools that are currently or could be in the quarterback market include LSU, Miami, and potentially Oregon. That would be the most bitter pill to swallow. That would be like if Julian Sain went to Michigan. In the realm of that, if that happened, probably more like Penn State. I would say Washington, Oregon are more like Penn State, Ohio State rivalry than they are Ohio State, Michigan. But there's certainly a deep level of hatred there. It would be like if Julian Sain went to Penn State is what that would be like. Just randomly showed up at Penn State. Stuart Mandel reporting that Washington has no intention of releasing Williams from his contract he signed on January 2nd. A program source told The Athletic the dispute could lead to a messy debate over the circumstances surrounding Williams' status. Washington is prepared to pursue legal action and enforce the terms of the contract, according to a person briefed on the situation. Here's the real truth on it. I don't see any scenario how they can enforce anything with this contract because every one of these contracts goes out of their way to say that they are not an employee.
Didn't Miami do that with a defensive back last year?
Yeah.
Now they're in the CFP semis.
What happened to that kid? Is he on Miami?
I think he's just on their roster. Yeah, I don't get any... I understand from Washington's perspective because you did all that PR and you did all that probably backroom work to make sure that the money and the deal was in place to keep Williams happy. And somebody came and offered him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what that would scream to me. And good luck enforcing these things.
You can't. So, you know, I think at the bare minimum, if we're going to stay in this world, I think the minimum thing that needs to change is that when this portal occurs, can juxtapose to when the season is, that goes back to the calendar discussion we have all the time. You can't have this now. You just can't. Not while you're in the middle. I mean, tomorrow night, we're going to play a national semifinal, for God's sakes. And you're in the middle of all of this. It's just, it's not right at all. And no one's immune to it. Nobody is. I mean, we talked about 19 Buckeyes in the portal. Go look at how many guys are in the portal at Texas. They got Arch Manning coming back. His roommate, Parker Livingstone, who has a nice season this year at Texas, 516 yards, six touchdowns. He hops in the portal and goes to Oklahoma. So this is saying to Michigan. That's what that is. I mean, that's it. He's a redshirt freshman. He's got 3 years of eligibility. Apparently, he said on social media that leaving Texas was out of his control. How is it out of your control? I'm sure it's financially motivated. Oklahoma said, we'll pay you more. It's in your control. You could have stayed at Texas and taken a little bit less if it was something that was important to you. But what's happening by and large is, who can pay me the most? It's pretty simple. And they're willing to move and go wherever they want in order to get every last penny that they can get. And sometimes it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you as a coach would have to decide. And look, take the Quincy Porter thing, who popped in yesterday, five-star wide receiver in last year's class, top 25 player in the country. Let's say he goes to Ohio State, and I have no idea if this is how it went, but just connecting dots. Let's say he goes to Ohio State and says, I need $1.6 million. And Ohio State's like, well, we don't have $1.6 million for you. We got $1.6 million that we'd really like to give it to Ryan Williams. We'd really like to give it to the Coleman kid from Auburn. We'd really like, and Williams is in the portal, but I think everybody's in the portal. So let's just use him as an example. I think we're going to give it to them. If you're Ohio State, that's the decisions you're having to make. Who are we giving this money to? In real time. Now. While all of this is going on. And so this is an example where Arch's roommate is going to Oklahoma.
That is violence at the highest level.
Yes, it is.
Right there, going to the rival. By the way, Xavier Lucas, Bo, the cornerback that left Wisconsin and went to Miami, had two tackles against Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, but I thought the Big Ten was going to fight it. I thought the Big Ten was going to help Wisconsin. What happened, Tony? Where's the big fight? That's all Washington said with this Williams transfer. Oh, we're going to lean on the Big Ten to help. Okay, how'd it go? How'd it go?
There are some rumors out there that maybe if, and you mentioned it, if Dante Moore goes pro, that he does end up in Oregon.
Sure.
There are some rumors out there that that would be the case. Bo, you talked about this yesterday, and I don't know if this is the scale you were talking about, because I don't know how many people know who Damond Williams is and really follow him, but this is a quarterback that started as a freshman the second half of the year, started all year as a sophomore. He's a really good football player.
Yeah.
And this is a quarterback with years left that's pretty good. Like, it's not Arch Manning, it's not Julian Sayin, but this is a damn good football player that is starting at a major program, a program that played in the national championship game just a few years ago, saying, peace out, guys. See you later.
Dude, we have a five-star receiver in the portal. Now, he's a freshman, but like, yeah, this is, it's over. The old way is over, man. Like, James Peoples ends up at Penn State. I got my Penn State buddy texted me last night. What can you tell me about James Peoples? I'm like, well, I didn't see much of him. There were flashes. I guess we'll see. We'll see how it all works. This will settle, because the other side of this, we're talking about the highest end of it. We're talking about the Damond Williams. We're talking about Quincy Porter. We're talking about the highest end of the portal. Sam Levitt sitting courtside with Lane Kiffin and trying to get a bag down there and all of the things that come with it. So all of these things are happening at the highest level. There's the ugly underbelly too, and that's this part of it. And this part we don't talk about much because it doesn't affect most of us in terms of how we view all of this. And Ohio State's this, they're not usually something that has to worry about this. There aren't enough spots for all these guys. There aren't. We can talk about the top of the sport, and you can be thrilled for a guy like Lincoln Kienholz finding a home. You can be, and you can be thrilled about guys coming back in. I'm excited for CJ Hicks to get a chance at South Florida playing for Beathard, and hopefully he really blossoms into the player that we all thought he can be. And those guys are fine. That's still at the very highest end of it. These guys couldn't get on the field at Ohio State, but it's still the highest end of the portal. Guys, there is an underbelly to this that is just brutal. And the reality there is, there are more guys in the portal than there are spots up for grabs. And there are going to be guys playing in the 1AA level, in the group of six level for nothing or a bag of peanuts compared to what they were getting at Big State U, because they have overvalued what they are actually worth. And that's the other side of it. And there's some kids in this Ohio State recruiting class that I think are going to get a very, very brutal warning and learn a brutal lesson about what happens when you are not what you think you are. There's the other side of it. And that part's out there too. Just count them. There's too many in. There's not enough spots.
And what sucks for a lot of these kids is they don't have good people with good intentions looking out for them. They're just seeing, they have guys that are just seeing dollar signs. Mm-hmm. There's some good agents out there that are repping some of these kids and are probably helping them out, and some of them have really good family lives and parents and people around them that are looking out for them. But then there are also some dudes that are just trying to catch a cash cow with these guys, and they're dirty, slimy agents, and some of these guys don't have anybody around them in their family life to look out for them, and some of these guys are just getting poor advice right now.
You guys don't have children that you know of, but I would just tell you this. I don't think that you know of. The one thing that is one of the hardest things to do as a human is to be honest about the limitations of your children. It's really hard. It's really difficult. And it can be at the lower level. It can be at the highest level. Everybody thinks that their kid is special. And it's really hard to realize that they're special in your eyes, but maybe not to the level that you think for everybody else. And there's a lot of that that's going on in this portal, a lot of it, and it's going to end up poorly for a lot of players. We'll get back into this as the program goes along. Coming up next, I think it was a bit of a shocking fire in the National Football League, and it will be just one of the many dominoes that will lead to a very different AFC North next year. We will get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
My mom is a veteran, and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Count of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. John Harbaugh out after 18 years in Baltimore and a Super Bowl championship. Reporting yesterday suggesting that kind of the straw that broke the camel's back on this one was John Harbaugh's unwillingness to part from Todd Monken, his offensive coordinator. It sounded like Steve Bisciotti, the owner, needed some sort of pound of flesh for them missing the postseason. I think you can read in between the lines that maybe Lamar Jackson wasn't crazy about Todd Monken, which is pretty wild because you could argue the best Lamar has been under Todd Monken and what they've done offensively the last few years. Obviously, Lamar's injury played a part of the failures this season. They had a slow start, still thought it had a chance to win the division. And honestly, if a kick goes in at the end of the game, a pretty routine kick goes in to win the game in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, John Harbaugh's obviously still the coach in Baltimore, but instead he is out. He immediately goes to the top of the list, the most coveted. The reporting out there suggests that he wants to get right back into coaching in this cycle. He will have pick of the litter. And quite honestly, my hunch is that even teams that have yet to fire their coach might. Like, if you're sitting out there and all of a sudden this guy becomes available and he has the track record that he has and you haven't fired your coach yet, you might reconsider that now, because a package of John Harbaugh and Todd Monken would be a very desirable package, I think, for much of the league. So I don't think he'll be unemployed long if he doesn't want to, but it's the second firing in the division. Stefanski followed that, and the Browns will chart a new path. And now this one, and this one is obviously a much bigger one in the sense that he's been there 18 years. And this will be, I mean, you want to talk about a giant change in the division. That's part of it. And there's also rumors that potentially the same could happen with Tomlin in Pittsburgh, that if they lose this weekend, that he could go to television for a year and just kind of get a reset. So the AFC North is going to be drastically different to start next season than it was to start this season. And the Harbaugh dismissal is a major domino in telling that story.
Yeah, to your point, I thought about like the New Orleans Saints and the New York Jets as teams that if there was interest mutually between the ownership of both organizations and John Harbaugh, like they'd dismiss their coaches as soon as John would want to.
You want the right answer?
Sure.
Washington. It's Washington.
I mean, John would run.
They just fired their coordinators. They just fired both coordinators. He doesn't have to move, right? Already lives in the area. Young stud quarterback, tons of talent, ownership that's locked in and ready to go. New stadium, doing the best they can with the rebrand, wearing the old Redskins uniforms, even though they can't use the name or the likeness and all of that. It's Washington, isn't it? If you're the ownership in Washington, don't you look at Dan Quinn and go, yeah, upgrade. We'll take John Harbaugh, Todd Monken, run the offense you ran for Lamar in Washington. Ready, break. I mean, to me, that's the spot.
It's interesting what happens when a coach like Harbaugh becomes available, because we just heard yesterday that Mike McDaniel was going to be a part of the GM search. And now I just saw when we start, like right as we started this segment and you started talking about this, Josina Anderson with a report that Miami may be interested in Harbaugh and Todd Monken coming down to South Beach.
He'd be an upgrade there.
Right, but why would he want that one? He's going to get to pick. Like, he's 63 years old. I don't think he wants to get into a... I don't think he wants to be in a situation where, who's my quarterback? Like, who's taking that? That's the thing that when I look at these openings, I always think, like, Who's throwing it? Who's my quarterback? And, you know, like Harbaugh has ties to Cleveland. I think his mom is a Cleveland native, and I want to say I've heard from both him and Jim that they grew up kind of Browns fans a little bit, that there was some of that a little bit. And obviously there's been attempts. Was it the Joe Banner dismissal? I could miss some of this, but there was one where ownership really wanted to hire Jim Harbaugh in Cleveland. And they kind of missed out on it and couldn't get it done. I want to say that happened before he went to Michigan, right after San Francisco, that ownership up there wanted Jim Harbaugh to be the coach. So
were the Harbaughs seen at a dental office looking at plans?
Looking at homes in Strongsville?
Yeah.
It's usually where they are. If you're every team in the league that isn't a Super Bowl contender and doesn't have McVay, Shanahan, those type of guys, you're going to call about Harbaugh. Like, if you're the Green Bay Packers, and for whatever reason, if they don't like LaFleur, which there's all this reporting out there that they could move off of LaFleur, which is crazy. Go look at his record year in, year out. Well, transitioning quarterbacks and all of it. No real superstar receiver, all of it. And all he does is win. And there's talk that they're unhappy with him. Like, they're calling him. If I'm the number one is the Washington Commanders. Like, that's it. You move on to Dan Quinn right now. You pivot with him. You bring in Monken. He gets to hire a defensive guy, and you're off because they're ready made. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. Like, why would you even give that a second thought? Don't let, if you have the opportunity to get a proven guy, proven greatness, you can't let it slip through your fingers. You can't. So if I'm them, I do it. Back to the AFC North. Baltimore with a new coach for the first time in 18 years. Who knows what happens in Pittsburgh if they lose? They play Monday night, right? Are they the Monday nighter?
Steelers, Texans.
Which that sucks to be Monday night in the first round of the playoff. Now you get a short week coming back for the winner of that game. But if they lose, does Tomlin go to television, say, yeah, I'm good, I'm going to sit it out for a year and do that? That seems to be in play. And then obviously there's already been a change in Cleveland. And then Cincinnati is just holding firm. And we had Ben Baby on yesterday, and we talked about what are they doing? And nobody really knows. But would you put anything past that situation down there? I wouldn't. Like, could you see a scenario in like 3 weeks where Burrow's like, yeah, if we don't do this, I'm out. I'm going to retire. Like, out of character for him, certainly. But I think they're that fed up with everything down there.
That's the only way something crazy happens in Cincinnati.
Probably.
Is Burrow's like, yeah, this is enough. Because the ownership isn't going to do it.
And it would only be for the absolute right. I mean, Harbaugh and Monken. You got Harbaugh and Monken.
This is what I'm saying. Like, if you're the Cincinnati, look, do Cincinnati. They won't do it because the Brown family would never do something like this. But if you're Cincinnati, don't you have to think? Like, if any team that's a normal NFL team that doesn't have one of the dudes, you have to look at your coach and go, is this guy better? And if I get him and Monken, how am I beating that?
You know, one of the teams that I thought would just be crazy enough, and I don't know if it's crazy, to be honest, but they just hired their coach a year ago. One of the teams that I thought of immediately with Harbaugh was the Dallas Cowboys.
Of course.
Jerry making a splash.
The only thing about Jerry is he's not really interested in thought partners.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be challenged.
No, he doesn't want, and he didn't like Parcells in his business. He's a Dave Campo guy. He's
Brian Schottenheimer.
He's Brian Schottenheimer. Like, how long did Jason Garrett have that job? Like, 10
way
years?
Too long. 10 years
despite
too long.
Nothing.
Almost.
I mean, how long was Jason Garrett the coach of the Cowboys?
A long time. Which he's interviewing with the Titans today, I heard.
Okay. All right. Let me see how long was he the.
I mean, it's this with the Jason Garrett stuff's almost right there with there's so many guys in this cycle that are like, we've already seen this. As a head coach.
Yeah, he was the head coach there for 9 seasons, but he was there since 07 as the offensive coordinator. So, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you're anybody and you feel like you're close, you call him. And I think the best one, I mean, it's clear to me, it's not even close. It's Washington. Like, that's the one. I just think of it from a personal standpoint. This is the 63. I'm a man. I'm in my 40s. I don't like change much. I like wearing the same shirts every day, the same shoes. I mean, it's pretty. You get to a point when you get old that you just do the same stuff every day. You think John Harbaugh wants to move towns, move homes?
For the chance at a Super Bowl.
But he doesn't have to.
If he doesn't have to. If
he could go to Washington.
Washington's interested in moving off of Dan Quinn.
Yes. I mean, and none of these jobs that are open are close to the Super Bowl. None of them. Baltimore's the closest, and that's the job he just left. So in terms of the jobs that aren't open that potentially could be, Washington was in the NFC Championship game. Not open, but could be, and would have to, I think, have a very serious conversation about it. There's really not anybody else in the AFC, to me, that does. In the NFC, it would be Green Bay. Would certainly be one of those. Where if they decide to move off of LaFleur, you'd have to pay attention. But it's a pretty short list.
You know, we say none of these jobs that are open are close to a Super Bowl. But I feel like you can turn it quick. The Texans proved that a couple years ago. Now, they had a great draft. They were aggressive, and they got CJ, and they got Anderson. And that was just a couple years ago. I don't think anybody would be surprised if the Texans made it to the Super Bowl this year. And Washington flipped it.
Yeah.
Right? They had a regression this year, but they got the quarterback in Daniels. They might have made some questionable personnel moves this year, but Washington flipped it quickly. Like, all of these teams, you just don't know in the NFL.
Buddy, there are two in the division, or there are two in the conference in the AFC that are your best examples. It's New England and Jacksonville. Both lost 13 games last year, and they're both in the postseason, having won 13 this year. Both have the quarterback. And that's the thing you're looking for. So that's why I say Green Bay, Washington. Like, I look at that and I go, okay, they got the quarterback. If you're looking at the quarterback, you look at Tennessee. Nashville's a great, everybody wants to live in Nashville. Like, if you like Cam Ward, pretty good spot. Atlanta doesn't have the quarterback. Cleveland doesn't have the quarterback right now, at least not for sure. So those are the challenges. And then do you love Jaxson Dart? I know I like Jaden Daniels. I know I like Jordan Love. Like, those two guys I know. So, like, those are the known commodities of jobs that aren't open yet that if you're Harbaugh, you pay attention to. We got an old-fashioned Donnybrook last night. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
As a teacher or a coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
Hey everybody, it's Berm here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Wrinkles, gray hair, and hearing loss are common signs of getting older. But being short of breath, having tightness in your chest, coughing and wheezing are not. If you are experiencing these symptoms, you may be one of the millions of people who are living with a condition called COPD but don't know it. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years of better breathing to your life. For more information, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Front Office Sports with this. Fish shared this with me this morning. I thought it was pretty great. Tiger Woods is hosting a 300-person invite-only party. It's his 50th birthday at the Breakers in Palm Beach. Are you guys familiar with the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach?
No.
Just a little.
Yeah. I've been there. We stayed there once. Man, it's been 15, 20 years ago. And at the time, it was pretty exorbitantly priced. I would say like $500 or $600 a night for a hotel room. Now it's like $2,000 a night for a hotel room. The property's pretty stunning. But so that, of course, that's where Tiger would hold a 50th birthday. The party has its own title sponsor because, of course, knowing Tiger and all the reputation on him, like kind of notoriously a little bit of a penny pincher when it comes to this type of stuff. So I'm sure that the party's going to be sponsored and paid for by somebody else. John Bon Jovi's going to sing. The dress code, wear a touch of red. And then a Masters Champions dinner themed menu. Here's what I'm most interested in with this. If you got an invitation to this and it says wear a touch of red, how are you dressing?
Just like Tiger Woods says, on Sunday. Red polo, black pants. Because I'm looking up on his Sunday red.
I was gonna say Sunday red.
It's available.
I bet it is.
It's a red polo for $120.
Reese, you remember when I was trying to buy that and they wouldn't let me?
Yeah, for the longest time.
I was trying to buy
did
that.
Did they ever
the
send you an email that was like, hey, they we did. Got it available?
They did. Yeah. It was like a month and a half later, they're like, well, now you can buy it if you want. I'm like, I'm not signing up to buy a polo on a lottery. Like, what are we talking about? How is this not available for the Masters, you fools? Yeah, Touch of Red, I think, is interesting. Like, is that... That's pretty funny. Like, just goes straight with how he dresses on Sunday. Is it a coat and tie? Probably not. Yeah. Good stuff. Very, very good
stuff. No, it's got to be... It's I don't know what business casual is anymore.
I know it's...
Pull up the Breakers. If you guys... Pull it up.
I know it's just Palm Beach, but, like... Go like Miami Vice attire.
I guess you can't do full on Hawaiian shirt and board shorts. I'd like to.
Nightly price with fees for the end of January, just a Sunday through Tuesday, by the way, not even a weekend, $1,686 a night for a room.
Chump change.
Do you guys know my theory on that? What hotels are doing? Have I told you guys this?
No.
My theory is that they used to be, we'll sell every room. And sometimes you can get them for cheaper because we make money if every room sold out. My theory on this, and I have nothing to back this up other than circumstantial evidence, is that they aren't making all the rooms available and charging a bigger price for them so they can have less staff to clean and to maintain.
Makes sense.
So they have less people working there. They sell fewer hotel rooms, even in massive properties, at a higher premium, and the profit margin remains the same. That's my theory. Because how many people can afford $1,600 a night on a Monday night? I mean, that's a Monday, fellas. Like, so they're probably only making my theory is they're only making a certain amount of these rooms available. And they're charging more for them, for the people who can afford it and don't think about it. We had a bit of a Donnybrook last night. Bake, did you watch this live?
Sure did.
God, you stayed and watched all that game.
I did.
How many years off your life has this franchise taken already? I mean, what is the toll?
I mean, that's tough to say because of the Reds and Browns and everybody else I root for. So who knows? These late night games, though, may start taking more of a toll than they used to. But it's just and the funny thing is they lose 5-2 to last night, but there's two empty net goals. They actually didn't play terrible. They just I don't know.
We're in a results business, so.
It's mistakes.
You're not going to win games. Like, it just is what it is. Like, they're not good. They're not a good team, bud.
Yeah, it's the mistakes are just at the worst times, and they always almost end up in the back of the net.
Do me a favor. Pull up the box score if you haven't looked at it already, and give me the amount of ice time Celebrini got.
25-21, I believe, something like that.
I thought maybe you had that.
While Fantilli...
It's 16.
16. Marchenko, 17.
Yeah.
I think Charlie Coyle led the Jackets forwards time on ice.
I like those gritty guys out there that work hard. You did get a big fight, though. Were you watching that live?
Gosh, that was one for the ages right there.
We don't see those much.
Woo! I tweeted immediately about that one because that was, and it was all over Twitter. If you were up, it was all over Twitter immediately, too.
So is the Reeves guy that he fought, is that somebody who normally doesn't get owned like that?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Reeves for probably, I don't know if it was 10 years, but 5 years, the most feared guy in hockey.
Yeah.
And he was probably almost out of hockey. He was in Toronto for a while, and people just kind of kept him around to protect young players. But Matthew Olivier is the heavyweight champion of the world now, and it's unquestioned.
Dominated him.
I mean, Reeves got some good punches in, too.
He did, but I'm watching it right now. I guess he landed like three or four in a row right at the end. Reeves did.
Which Olivier just took him. Didn't
he took him. Didn't even flinch.
Phase him. And it's kept a little throwing.
It's like the boxing scene in Rocky IV. Like, how many hits can Rocky and Drago take? And just completely be unfazed, just haymakers. That's Olivier last night in this.
Do you know what I want more than anything in the world, Bo?
Well, I can think of a couple of things, but I don't know the answer to this.
The Blue Jackets Cup?
The next big boxing match on Netflix, Matthew Olivier versus Jake Paul. That's what I want.
I don't think they'll let Jake Paul fight anymore.
He's done.
Jaw's going to heal.
Two plates in his face.
He's got a lot of money. He's got the best doctors.
You imagine having all that money and then choosing to fight? Like heavyweights, like What are you doing? What are you doing, man? Go find a better use of your time. All right, second hour of the program. By the way, it is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas. You can do so in the YouTube chat. Also on the social at 971BFS, and we will get to those coming up in a little more than an hour from now. Get your officially endorsed as well. Coming up next, we'll do a little higher and lower with the NFL coaching vacancies. Jake Trotter on the college football playoff coming up at 10:30. Second hour up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURN. For the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to VetTix.org and FirstTix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Your child is sick. With those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Happy kids heal faster. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation delivers happiness through gaming, toy deliveries, and more to hospitals across the country. Learn more at starlight.org.
I lost count of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. And my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. About 19 Buckeyes have entered the transfer portal since the window opened last Friday. Five have found new schools, including running back James Peoples, who committed to Penn State on Tuesday. Cornerback Bryce West committed to Wisconsin. Former five-star wide receiver Quincy Porter is the most recent portal addition. He's got 4 years of eligibility left. Ohio State will also have to replace Carnell Tate next year. Number 17 became the first Buckeye with remaining eligibility to declare for the NFL draft. That takes place in Pittsburgh on April 23rd. In NFL news, the Ravens fired John Harbaugh on Tuesday. There are seven current vacancies, including the Browns, who are going to interview Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken and Seahawks DC Aiden Duty. In the NHL last night, the Sharks beat the Blue Jackets 5-2 in San Jose. The basketball Buckeyes are headed west. Ohio State's at Oregon tomorrow night at 10:30. Hear from OSU's head coach today at noon as the Jake Diebler radio show hits the fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. We'll get to Jake Trotter in about 29 minutes from now. Time now for a little higher or lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Oh, baby.
It's Aiden Dirty, not Aiden Duty, just to correct the update anchor.
It's all right. You're fine.
USA Today. Well, this isn't USA Today. This is from NFL.com. Judy Batista, who writes for NFL.com and also appears on the NFL Network, ranked the seven coaching vacancies, the seven current coaching vacancies. If like one happens in the next 10 minutes, it's not going to be on this thing. But we could rank it if that happens throughout the show, because I don't think, and I'll start with this, Bo, you might not think, Baker, you might not think there are going to be seven total vacancies, at least in the next couple of weeks.
Which one am I missing? Cleveland, Atlanta, Tennessee, Giants, Vegas, Baltimore. Who am I missing?
You say Arizona?
Arizona.
That's it.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon got the boot on Monday.
All right, before we start this, let's. I think there are two different... There are two different silos here of jobs. And so this is really in the eye of the beholder of the coach in terms of what you want. There are jobs that are total resetters. So Atlanta is a total reset job, right? Coach, GM, reset. I think all the rest of them, the general manager is being retained. I think. Pretty sure. So there's that. The other thing is there's one that's like, hey, go, you want this job? Go win the Super Bowl. Like that's the expectation with one of them. Atlanta's kind of in the middle, and then the other ones are kind of pivot / rebuilds. So I think this is going to be a pretty fascinating discussion. Go ahead, Reese.
So number one on this list, again, NFL.com's Judy Batista, their senior national columnist, says the Baltimore Ravens are the best available job amongst the seven. At two, she's got the New York Giants. At three, she's got the Cleveland Browns. At four, the Atlanta Falcons. Higher or lower for Atlanta at four?
All right. So, wow. Okay. So, Baltimore is the no-brainer one because you're ready-made. Now, your pressure is by far the highest. The expectation is by far the highest. The feeling in Baltimore is go win the Super Bowl. Like, when's the last time a job like that came open? Where the expectation is go win the Super Bowl. Maybe like Indianapolis when Tony Dungy left? And Manning was still there? I mean, there aren't many. I mean, just think of the best players in the sport, all the MVP winners over the last 25 years. When have they ever been, when is the last time that an MVP was available to be coached? Still in his prime. And I'm asking that question, I don't know the answer. Manning's the best I can do when Tony Dungy retired. That's the best one I can think of. Everybody else has been... Like, they have their coaches. You get one of those guys, you keep them. So that's the best one I can think of. So I think that's right to be number one, but you're signing up for a lot of pressure. And I do wonder if Baltimore is the type of job where somebody who isn't currently available to coach would want to become available to coach. So kind of the inverse of the John Harbaugh. Is there a coach out there, like if you're LaFleur and you're like, man, Green Bay doesn't like me, blank this, I'm going to go coach Baltimore. Like, I'll do that. Sign me up for that. I wonder if some of that could happen. But this is the best one for sure because you have the two-time MVP.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close that it's Baltimore number one. The Atlanta Falcons were the team in question here, and they're at number four. So on my list, I have the Falcons number three. I have Baltimore number one. I have the New York Giants number two, because I just think they've got some really good young pieces there. I don't know if Jackson Dart is a franchise quarterback, but I think he's good enough with what they've got and that attitude and swagger they've kind of started there. So I like what the New York Giants have. I have them number two. And then I have Atlanta number three here. I think Atlanta has some pieces as well. And they have kind of two options at quarterback. Now, maybe that changes because of the restructuring of Kirk Cousins and maybe who moves on. But you've still got Michael Penix, who I think there's a lot there. It hasn't been great for him so far, but I think there's a lot to work with him. So I would have Atlanta number three. I would have them just a fuzz higher.
I'd have Atlanta two, because I think you have two capable quarterbacks there. I think Cousins played well down the stretch, and I think Penix is more than fine. And you have a ton of weaponry, and you also have a division that is very winnable. I mean, they just won. Carolina won the division at 8-9. Like, you can get to there in no time in Atlanta. You have ownership that's locked in. You got a city that a lot of people like to live in. So I go Baltimore, Atlanta, too. Then it's in the eye of the beholder in terms of what you're looking for. Like, do you like... I like Cam Ward more than Jackson Dart. So I would... But Jackson Dart's got some more weapons, although it's injured weaponry. So that's a little interesting. I think Cleveland's, like, in that mix, you know, somewhere in there, but they have a Super Bowl defense. And if you land the quarterback, or if you believe in the quarterbacks on their roster, if you believe in Shedeur Sanders, you can flip that pretty quickly. And they're going to draft a bunch of offensive linemen and weapons, and they'll be active in the free agency on that too. And you have ownership who's willing to pay. So I think Cleveland's somewhere in this mix, but I think it's clearly, for me, it's clearly Baltimore, then Atlanta, and then a conversation around your preference at quarterback.
All right, so after the Falcons, four on this list, the Arizona Cardinals at five, ooh, the Tennessee Titans at six. Higher or lower for Arizona at five?
I think Arizona's the worst job in the mix. I think it's the worst job by far. You have, I mean, what do you have other than the fact that you get to live your lifestyle? I mean, it's probably the most desirable place to live is Arizona, but in terms of the football situation, it's brutal. You have ownership that is notoriously penny-pinching and won't get things done. You have a quarterback situation that is completely in flux. They're obviously moving off of Kyler. Like, that's something that wasn't talked about much this year. They're obviously moving off of him, but what's the answer at quarterback? You're not picking first or second, so you're not going to get one of the quarterbacks there. I don't know what's going on with the route man. I don't know how he hasn't panned out there, but he hasn't. So I think Arizona's the worst job. I don't think it's particularly close. I would have Arizona dead last on this. I'd have it seven. And I think the only thing it kind of has going for it is, and this is a big thing for me personally because I'm getting old, be nice to be warm all the time. So just personally, I'd like that job because I'd like to live, you know, somewhere in the Valley of the Sun. But at the same time, I think from a football operation, it's definitely the worst.
So I have Arizona lower at six. I have Vegas as the worst, because I just think there's not... I don't think Vegas has, outside of Brock Bowers, I don't think they have a lot going for them. They do have the number one pick.
They have Genty. They have the number one pick. They've got Bowers. They've got Crosby.
Genty, but Crosby's leaving, they're saying.
Well, we'll see. But you're going to get a bounty for him. You're going to get two ones for him.
I guess I just believe in the players and the weapons that Arizona have a little more than Vegas. So I have Arizona at six, one spot lower than five, and I have Vegas bringing up the rear there.
I think Vegas, to me, is a little bit of a sleeping giant. I'm going to give you the kind of the reason for it. Number one, it's a city all these guys want to live in. Everybody wants to live in Vegas, not just because of Sin City and all that comes with that, but because there's no state tax in Nevada. So your checks are going to go a lot further there. So to me, I like that. I like the fact that I get to pick my quarterback. I can either pick Mendoza or Moore, whichever one I like better. So I like that. I've already got a stud running back in Genty. Now, I never would have taken a running back that high, but that's not my problem. That's a previous regime's problem, and he's good. So give me that. I got a stud in Bowers at tight end. And if I trade Crosby, I'm going to get a bounty in return So I can turn that into weaponry right away. The other part with Vegas is they've already taken the private equity money. That's how they're paying for all of this. Remember, this isn't Mark Davis's money anymore. They sold a portion of that franchise, and so now they're a little bit liquid too. So I think Vegas is in a much better spot than Arizona. Arizona, other than the place to live, there's nothing there. I think that's a mess.
So the DraftKings Sportsbook has odds for John Harbaugh where he's going to land.
Give me it.
Giants have the best odds, plus 150. The Raiders, plus 450. Falcons, Titans, Browns at plus 1,000.
Do they have Washington on it?
I do not have Washington on the board.
Yeah. I think Washington's got it. I mean, he's in their backyard. That's such a no-brainer. I mean, you could see him in Vegas, but like if you're him, do you want to sign up for that? I guess if you love Mendoza or more. I mean, you're picking number one, so you're going to get your quarterback. So if you love one of those two quarterbacks, now Harbaugh's probably done no work on either one of them because he thought he was going to have Lamar and wasn't going to have to worry about those things. But if you love one of those guys, then that's a spot. And Vegas is a great place to live and all the stuff that comes with it. Big pocketbooks now that they got the private equity money in there. So I think Tennessee, too, is another one. Now, I don't know if that ownership is one that can make that situation be as good as it is, but that's one of the hottest zip codes in the country. So many people want to live in Nashville. That is what most people think is a true blue franchise quarterback in Cam Ward, and an ability to surround him with a bunch of talent while moving into a new domed stadium. So if that ownership is locked in, that Nashville situation can be pretty sweet. It's also pretty crazy that they went Tennessee on the name and not Nashville.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Want to kind of lean into one of the sexier cities, at least.
Yeah.
More recently in the country, but the stadium thing's an interesting point because not only are they willing to spend now, but they're going to be extra aggressive the closer you get to that thing opening.
Of course. Yeah.
And probably similar to the Browns.
For sure.
But
well, you're never going to have any
the Titans.
You can have concerns about the Browns, and historically, I certainly get that. You're not going to have any concerns about the willingness to spend. None. They will spend. Like they will, if there's opportunity that they believe can make the team better, they will spend to make sure that they do it. Speaking of spending, all four of the teams remaining in the college football's playoff have spent wildly in the portal, and it paid off bigly. We'll take an early look at these games. They start tomorrow with Miami and Ole Miss. It is insane to think that that is a national semifinal, but it is. We will get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURN. Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war. Backed by scientific research, Canines for Warriors has transformed the lives of more than 1,000 veterans, helping them reclaim their independence. To find out more, please visit caninesforwarriors.org.
Enough already.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes hit the road for a Big Ten battle with Oregon.
Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 9:30 with the tip at 10:30.
Every game, every season. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
You still thinking job?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect skies to be mostly cloudy today, but still mild with above average temperatures in the upper 40s. And then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with lows around freezing. For Thursday, a dry day ahead with mostly cloudy skies and warmer with highs in the mid to upper 50s. Rain develops late Thursday night, overnight into Friday with gusty winds and lows in the 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. We're proudly sponsored and brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 80 years. They're the best. Absolutely. Tell them Bo sent you. Two locations, Sawmill, Easton. They will take care of you on that side of things. Do you have a rooting interest in this? Miami Ole Miss tomorrow night, Oregon, Indiana on Friday night. Fiesta Bowl will be first, then the Peach Bowl that will follow. That game will be on Friday. If you're saying to yourself, does it make any geographical sense to take two Southeastern Conference teams and play them, or two Southeastern United States team and have them go to Arizona and have one as far as you can get West team and a Midwest team play in the Deep South? No, is the answer. The smart thing to do on this would have been very simply to send Oregon and Indiana to the Fiesta Bowl and have Miami and Ole Miss play in the Peach Bowl. But of course, there's no common sense in any of this. It's just utter nonsense across the board with everybody in charge of all of this. I began with, do you have a rooting interest? I should let you guys answer. Do you?
Indiana.
Oh, I can't live in that
world. I'm just rooting for a team.
I went into this after Ohio State lost and thought I was rooting for Oregon, which is crazy to me. But after watching the last round of games, I'm very torn, because I think this Indiana and Cignetti story is ridiculous, but I think the Trinidad Chambliss story might be even better. And the way he played, he did a lot of things that a quarterback shouldn't do in that game, but he got away with it, and he made plays. So I'm torn. I just want Indiana and Ole Miss playing in the final, I feel like.
That is a game that 3 years ago is a noon kick on ESPN2.
I mean, yeah, depending on...
That's your Beth Moens.
If you're in Oxford for that game.
Pam Ward.
But if you're situation. In Bloomington, that's like Big Ten Network Plus.
PTN Plus. My God. I think you hit it, though. I think the team I'm rooting for most is Ole Miss, just from a chaos perspective. And I don't know... I've always been a fan of Lane Kiffin because I'm a fan of interesting, and he's an interesting guy. I wouldn't want to be involved with him in any way. Like, I wouldn't want him near my program. I wouldn't want him, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't want him near that, even if he was 30 some years older. Like, I wouldn't want really anything in the vicinity of him. But at the same time, like, in doing what we do, we like people who are interesting, and he's very, very interesting. But the idea, first of all, he clearly thought Georgia was beating them. Clearly. There is no way that he would have let all of those assistants who were at Ole Miss, including Charlie Weiss, coach Ole Miss if he thought that there was a snowball's chance in hell that they were going to beat Georgia. There is no way he thought that. No way. So once that happened, now he's in the situation of he is undermining himself. Ole Miss is undermining Kiffin, and Kiffin is complicit, because how good was he of a coach if this Ole Miss team is beating Miami from playing for a national championship? So how good is he then? Now, he signed this roster, and he recruited the roster, and he portaled the roster, and he Trinidad Chambliss finding him from off the scrap heap, Ferris State, is that where it was? Division II?
In Michigan.
And so, okay. You'd credit there. But in terms of the actual coaching, there's been no drop-off. None. In fact, this Ole Miss team did something that when Kiffin was coaching it, it couldn't. It beat Georgia. So from a rooting standpoint, I keep getting pulled in that direction. I do. Now, I'm also, and this is, you guys know where I stand on the state.
I can't live in a world where Indiana wins a national championship.
I have absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing I want to do. So I can't. And I got buddy who's an alumnus, another buddy whose son goes there now, and he's a freshman. He's having the time of his life. I can't live in a world where Indiana wins a national championship in football. I just can't. Not with that pothole situation that they've got on those freeways. Take care of your state, kids. I can't have you be rewarded with a national championship. Now, there would be some a little bit of humor that would come from it in the idea that Indiana won a football national championship more recently than Notre Dame. That would have a little bit of humor for me.
I do. It's tough to root for Miami because of the recency in which they dispatched Ohio State. But the idea to the Notre Dame point that it was between Miami, Alabama, and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame fans were, you know, saying how their resume was better than Miami's. But Miami was like, well, we beat you in the game.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame fans forever just wanted to ignore that. Like, there's part of me that would want to see Miami win it all. Just to have Notre Dame fans, just to have one more thing that Notre Dame fans could not say anything about.
Yeah, there's, I don't know where I stand on Miami.
It's tough.
College football, I think, is better when that school is good. It would wreck your bit, Reese.
Oh, like the bit's wrecked. They're in a college football playoff semifinal. They are.
It's done.
Back. Yeah, I can't sit here and be like, oh, they'll be back next year because this is back.
This is back, yeah. U's back. The one thing about of these teams that are direct threats to Ohio State in terms of how roster building goes about its business, Miami and Oregon are the two that are the biggest threats to that, for sure. Like, I don't know how many times you're going to be in any sort of recruiting or portal battle with Ole Miss. And even as it stands right now, you're not really in recruiting or portal visits with Indiana. Now, Cignetti is doing it. Next year will be his third straight year of a new transfer quarterback. He's building the roster year over year in the portal entirely.
Yeah, they're not getting a starter from high school and developing him.
No way. And I don't know if you should anymore, honestly. Like, I don't know if you should. Have him go play and develop somewhere else and then have him paratroop in. He got the Hoover kid from TCU, right? Isn't that who he's got coming in there next year? Along with Thrash, the receiver, is coming from Michigan State. So he had himself a nice little weekend. So he's just going to continue to do that. But those aren't necessarily guys that Ohio State is... You know, they're not in on those type of guys. They're not interested in those type of guys. So I'm sure they were interested in Thrash, but probably not at the price point that Indiana was interested in him. So Indiana's going to go about it a different way. Cignetti's figured this out. He wants 21, 22, and 23-year-olds. He even says this in all of his interviews. Our team is old. We're experienced. Like, he doesn't want kids. He wants old guys who have played a lot of football. Now, the one thing that hasn't happened to them yet is they have not had an injury. Not a major one. I mean, Surratt was hurt a little bit. It obviously was hurt in the Ohio State game. And so, but he bounced back and he played in the game against Alabama, obviously. But they haven't had that big injury yet that's tested their depth. But that's kind of the only thing they don't have. But in terms of the biggest threats to the Buckeyes and how the Buckeyes build their roster in terms of having to deal with it, it's Miami and Oregon. Those are the two that they go head to head with those two all the time for players, high school and portal. Like, those are the two that are the much bigger threat. Of the one that's probably feels like it's paid the most dues and would be the most, for whatever this is worth in modern college football, the most deserving of a national title, that's Oregon. I mean, they've been, this is over 20 years now since Joey Harrington was on a billboard in Times Square. It's 20 years of Phil Knight uniforms. It's a bunch of different coaches through the years, from Bilotti to Chip to Helfrich. Was it Willie Taggart to Cristobal and inevitably to Dan Lanning? Did I do it? I think I did it.
Yeah.
Did I get
pretty
them
good.
All? Yeah. So they've paid their dues on this side of things, and they would be the team that if you wake up on the Tuesday, January 20th, you would say to yourself, if Oregon wins a national title, that was a long time coming. It would feel a lot like Clemson winning it, I think, when they finally won it. It just kind of like, okay, they finally did it. They've been knocking on the door forever. They finally knocked the door down. I think that's how Oregon would feel for college football if they did it.
Bo, by the way, speaking of billboards in New York City, did you see Texas Tech taking out the billboard in Times Square for Brennan Sorsby?
Yep, I sure did.
I wonder how many people looking at that billboard go, what's a Texas Tech?
Oh, man.
What does that have to do with anything?
What's the point of this thing?
Did you guys watch much of him this year? I don't think I saw him play both a game.
BYU games. Sorry. I saw both BYU. I saw Texas Tech twice. Three times, I guess.
No, not Texas Tech. Cincinnati.
No.
Did you watch Sorsby play at all?
I feel like I remember Sorsby more from Indiana than
Cincinnati, knowing that
he was at Indiana. And
no. Like, when they put him as at the top portal quarterback, I'm like, he's better than Levitt? Did I miss something? So, we'll see if Levitt finds a home. But one thing that we can say for sure is you have four teams playing in the college football semifinals. All four of them have transfer quarterbacks in their quarterbacking their chances. So that's where the sport is, and it's not going to change anytime soon. Jake Trotter was at the game between the Buckeyes, of course, and the Canes, and he'll have a spot. My hunch is, I haven't talked to Jake about this, my hunch is he will be in Atlanta for Oregon, Indiana. He's kind of been on the Midwest beat, so we'll get some perspective from him in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival.
That man is Jake Trotter.
Indeed it is, and he joins on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll get into all the games in a second, but you were down at the Ohio State game, of course, and I'm curious, as you've gone through this season, we're in the middle of this portal, which is just complete and utter chaos, and of course the adults built the room, and now they got to live in it. If you were running a college football program of the Oklahoma-Ohio State variety right now, a true blue blood, how would you build your roster?
Like, how much would I use the portal? I mean, you got to use the portal a lot. Mm-hmm. And you can get really good players in the portal. I mean, look at what Ohio State has done in the portal. You know, getting guys like Will Howard and Caleb Downs and Seth McLaughlin and Max Clair. You know, I think if you're at Ohio State, you still got to get your Jeremiah Smiths, your Carnell Tates. You know, you've got to recruit and try to get the best classes you can get, but it's only part of the game anymore, and you're not going to keep those entire classes, and you've got to supplement it with really good quality, if not, you know, all-conference, all-American caliber portal acquisitions. So you've got to do it, you know, through recruiting, but you got to do it through the portal as well.
I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, I would not get into a bidding war for an 18-year-old anymore. I wouldn't. I don't think you need to. Yeah, no way.
Yeah, if you're going to spend that money, spend it on a proven commodity, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm with you.
And I do this, and even, and I, you know, unless it's Jeremiah Smith, but there aren't many of those that are like walk in the door first-year starters. But just do the quarterback conversation, Jake. As good as Julian was, he was a Heisman finalist. Like, if you are a program like this, I mean, just look at Sam Levitt. Like, he could be the quarterback at LSU next year, and they don't have to develop him. He's already developed. Why go through growing pains?
I mean, how many teams are going to have a portal starting quarterback next season? It feels like half of college football, at least the Power Four.
Well, as you know,
it's that much, but it's a lot.
The four teams that are playing for the national title all have transfer quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's right. Dante Moore from UCLA, mm-hmm. Mendoza from Cal, back from Georgia, and
Chambliss.
Yeah.
Ferris State.
I know. I mean, look, I'm trying to think, even last year, you know, Ewers technically mm-hmm. was a transfer.
Yep.
Will Howard, obviously.
Riley Leonard.
Riley Leonard was, and the only one that wasn't was the exception. Yeah.
He was the only one. Yeah. I don't think you do it that way anymore.
it is quarterback free agency right now. You know, there's a lot of moving parts at all positions, but I mean, even the Damon Williams thing now, the quarterback at Washington, you know, he's under contract. He's trying to leave. Who knows how that's going to go? It is. At least we only have one period now, but it is the calendar is so screwed up. I mean,
it's a mess.
We don't even know who's coaching Ole Miss tomorrow. And, you know, I think the Brian Hartline thing, you know, didn't help Ohio State. And it's a tough, you know, everybody has to deal with it. I mean, Oregon is losing both coordinators and, you know, they've overcome it to this point. You know, the Ole Miss situation is the most difficult that anyone has had to deal with in the playoff. But, you know, it did feel like after Hartline took the South Florida job, like Ohio State's offense, you know, I'm not blaming that on why they lost those two games, but the offense didn't play well in the postseason. Didn't play the way it did during the regular season. And I know that competition was better. Indiana and Miami, you know, probably the two best defenses they faced by far. But it just feel like they were a little bit discombobulated offensively.
Yeah, and I was shocked. And as I watched, you know, on New Year's Eve and watching that thing going, I cannot believe they're not going tempo. I couldn't believe that they didn't at some point do that. And the problem with it is it was just like the Indiana game. You eliminate your margin for error. And when they punted with 6 minutes, I'm like, I don't know if you get it back. Because you basically need a three. You need at most a six and out. Like, it can't go much more than that. The way college football and the clock works now, there's not enough time to come back from those things. And I think it came back to bite them because they didn't learn from the Indiana experience really at all, Jake.
Ohio State had so few possessions in these games. I mean, you know, the Indiana game in the second half, like you go back and look and those two drives, I mean, they basically had like three or four drives the entire second half.
Well, and the fourth didn't even really count because they had no...
Didn't count.
Yeah,
didn't count because there was just a few seconds left. I mean, that's kind of the team that Ohio State became. I don't know if they intentionally wanted to slow it down that much. And, you know, the other part of it too, and this is something they're going to have to address personnel-wise, they just got crushed up front in those two games. Got absolutely obliterated. You know, when you lose the battle at the line of scrimmage, that's kind of been, you know, where Ohio State's gone down. You know, you look at the Michigan game last year, blown up at the line of scrimmage, and then these two games, Indiana and Miami, that's where those games were lost. I mean, I was surprised. I wasn't surprised that Miami was able to get pressure on Sayin and kind of control the line of scrimmage defensively. I just thought that Miami defensive line was so talented that was going to be potentially problematic. I think we talked about it before the game, like that's the one area Miami, you know, was going to be able to make some hay. I was kind of surprised that offensively Miami just wore Ohio State down and won that battle too, as good as the Ohio State front had been all year defensively.
It was exactly like the Indiana game, right? Like the defense did more than enough to win, but when they needed a three and out,
couldn't get
Mendoza it. Made plays and Beck made plays.
Yeah, I was surprised that Ohio State didn't get the ball back at the end. I thought if they did, they were going to win because they had figured it out in the second half what to do. You know, they were running between the tackles instead of trying to stretch. You know, they Jeremiah Smith was unstoppable, and you just felt like he was going to get another opportunity there on that last drive, but they couldn't get the stop again. So it was a really good team. It's hard to win back-to-back national championships. That's why it's happened so seldom over the years. And, you know, we thought that this team, you know, had a chance to do it, but they just never got to that level that last year's team got to.
No.
Last year's team cranked it up in the postseason and got to a level that we thought they might be able to get to, but, you know, hadn't seen it. And this team just never got there.
No. No, they didn't. And now they're at home trying to figure out how to put a team together for next year and what all of that looks like with 19 guys in the portal and all this other stuff. But everybody's dealing with these issues. You've been around this sport a long time, buddy, and made your bones covering it in the young days and now back. And it's always great to have you back on the college football side of things. But wrap your head around the idea that Ole Miss and Indiana could play for a national title. I mean, this is a sport. I mean, it's most similar to European soccer. Like, the haves remain the haves forever. The have-nots don't ever become the haves. Those are both have-nots who are now haves.
Yeah, Oregon is kind of a good comp for Indiana because, let's just go back to, like, the 90s. There's really only one other team that almost broke through that kind of came out of nowhere, like didn't have the facilities, the recruiting infrastructure, the tradition, et cetera. It was Kansas State under Bill Snyder.
Yeah.
And they came an overtime away in the 98 Big 12 championship against A&M from playing for the national championship. They were number one in the country. They lost at the end and never really got to that point again, even though they had some really good teams. Ohio State played a couple of them. Oregon is the only other like non-name program, and they weren't a name program because they were not relevant until the 21st century. And they did it with Nike and the uniforms and the offense and the tempo and Phil Knight, all that stuff. What Indiana has done is unprecedented. Like, there's no that I can recall, at least in my lifetime, and really probably the history of college football, where a program that was like an absolute nobody could win a national championship. It just hasn't happened. You know, it's happened in hoops. It's happened in other sports. But in football, it just hasn't happened. And I wonder if you look at – now, Cignetti is one of one. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not other Cignettis out there. But you look at their team – and what they were able to do with the JMU transfers and then some other smart transfer moves they've made with Curtis Warwick from Ohio U and then Mendoza from Cal. They've got Hoover from TCU coming in next year, presumably to be the starting quarterback. So they've kind of supplemented the roster that way. But if you're a program trying to make a quick turn and you don't have their tradition, go hire an awesome group of five coach that's going to bring his team with him. And
well, that's Oklahoma State, right?
It's Oklahoma State. I was actually texting somebody there yesterday about all their North Texas transfers. And this person was telling me, all these kids are really impressive. And we got a chance to be, you know, pretty good right away because they've got like seven or eight American Conference players coming in, including, you know, arguably the best quarterback transfer available this year, and Drew Mestemaker. And then, like, you know, all those guys have experience in the system and playing together. I'm not saying they're going to be Indiana, but that's kind of that's kind of the model. That if you're an Oklahoma State and you're trying to, you know, do what Indiana did, you know, it's possible. Like, there's a blueprint for it. To be really good, really fast with really good experienced players that have experience playing under their coach. So the portal has really established a parity, but again, that's not even taking anything away from Indiana because I don't know that we're ever going to see anything like this again. It's remarkable. And they're not only are they like making this run, they're the best team. Like, I don't know if they're going to win it all. They're the best team in college football this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I've never seen anything in college athletics ever. Like, there's nothing that's like what he's done there. They're the losingest program in the history of the sport, and he's done.
Yeah,
this
they had not won double digit games since like the. They had not had a undefeated. They've never had an undefeated season. Let me put this. They've had a. It's their first perfect season ever.
Yes,
they had an undefeated season where they had like a tie in the 40s.
Yep,
but they've never been like this.
No. No, this is impossible, and he's on the precipice of it now. Are you going to be there?
I am not. I was going to go to Arizona if the Buckeyes had won.
Okay.
And now I'm going to be at home watching, which is fine. I'm trying to get over this flu that like won't go away. That's but yeah, golly, this is a rough year for that. And we'll see what the Browns do too. Now that they got a head coach to go get,
they do. Yeah, going to be very interesting over the next couple of weeks up there as well. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks for your time.
All right, see you both. Enjoy.
There he goes, Jake Trotter, ESPN senior college football reporter, joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Jake Diebler Show, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Jake, we've seen some combinations from your front court this year, but Ivan Yagovin, Christopher Tilley, having them on the floor at the same time against Grambling State, 2 7-footers, is that something we could see a little bit more as conference play develops?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at the size of the Big Ten, and certainly as we built this roster, we wanted to have the flexibility and versatility to be able to play those guys together, and we worked on it this summer. We've worked on it at times. You know, this offseason we're starting to do it more, gearing up for Big Ten play. So we absolutely feel like having that available will be important down the stretch.
All right, we'll have another comment right after this.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down!
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Classic Bob.
You're listening to the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Jake, in terms of developing your bench or guys that you know maybe are capable, what do you say to motivate them to get them to the level they can play at here in this conference slate coming up?
Be aggressive and play to your strengths. You know, making sure they understand how much we believe in them, and you know, and I think, you know, giving them an opportunity, and then when they're out there, they got to make the most of it. Just be aggressive, play to your strengths, play with a clear mind. I think that's the biggest thing. Don't be afraid. We don't want to do anything out of fear in this program. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Just, you know, really just impact winning. You know, those are the conversations we're having, defining what that looks like, providing clarity for our guys so they can go out and be their best.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota gives you more electrified hybrid choices than anyone else, including the stylish new Corolla, a name synonymous with Toyota quality and dependability, the elegant new Toyota Crown Signia, and the latest edition of the legendary 4Runner. Toyota's extensive lineup also includes battery EVs like the tech-savvy all-electric bZ4X, and of course, the iconic Prius, the hybrid that started it all. That's the power of choice. From Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizza, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, still time to get your Hey Guys questions. Is you can do go in the YouTube chat or also on the social at 971BFS. We will take those there. We're getting the $50 to our great friends at High Bank. Time now for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Someone snuck in a baseball thing.
Oh, God.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today reported that Kyle Schwarber rejected an above-market offer from the Cincinnati Reds this offseason. Nightingale says the Reds were willing to offer more money than the $150 million he ended up re-signing with the Philadelphia Phillies. Schwarber is from Middleton, that's just north of Cincinnati. Thing or not a thing?
All right. So he signed 5 years, $150 million.
Correct.
All right. So he's made in his career already over $100 million in his career. So this is it's a massive payday, even for somebody who's made a lot. It's a massive payday on top of that. The reason I bring that up is if you were Kyle Schwarber and you had the ability to play on a team like Philly that plays in front of packed houses always, that contends for World Series always, that is in the mix and is going to spend not just on you, but on the rest of the roster. Or you could go to Cincinnati, which is close to where you grew up, for more money. I think you probably learned the lessons of Ken Griffey Jr. And you say, I'm going to go here. I'd like to win and the money's going to spend and I'll be fine with that. I don't think there's the home allure. I don't think it's there like it used to be 30 years ago for professional athletes. I don't.
Especially when that home is Cincinnati. And I'm not saying that Philadelphia is a greater place than Cincinnati. But when you have chances to go to warmer weather cities, bigger cities, things like that, that can be winning. Appealing to a lot of guys. And as you mentioned, winning a little more. I think this is an interesting thing. And Bob Nightingale is very, very good at his job. But all the reports were back when this signing happened is the Reds offered 5 years, $125 million. So I wonder who Bob Nightingale is talking to and who wants to get this information out there and if this information is correct, because a lot of people made it sound like the Reds just made an offer because they had to, because he lived close to there and he was kind of interested in coming to Cincinnati. If they offered more, that would be a whole change to this story. And I just don't know, especially with the Cincinnati Reds in their front office, if this is true.
Does Bob have a connection in Cincinnati, Reese?
I don't think.
Does his son cover them or something?
I think Bob used to cover them.
Well, so I think there are two Bob Nightingales. There's a Bob and a Bobby Nightingale. And
right.
I think we've had both on our program. And I think Bobby Nightingale, was at least last in Milwaukee. When I read this, because I thought the same thing to him, like there's no way the Reds could have offered more than this. But if that's what maybe Schwarber's agent or another agent is telling Bob, I think that's maybe where the narrative comes from, likely more than a source covering the actual Reds.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the Reds can offer more than the Phillies was kind of a wild thing to read. With 7 minutes and 57 seconds left in Monday's NBA game between the Warriors and Clippers, Golden State's Steve Kerr was ejected following a non-goaltending call on LA's John Collins. The Warriors ended up losing that game 103-102. Snoop Dogg was on the Peacock yes. broadcast and had the call.
Back him up, GP. Back him up, Steve Ray.
He's already gone.
Steve banging Englewood right now. Englewood, get him, Steve. You and Englewood, Steve. The Arizona Wildcat that came out and look at it.
Thing or not a thing?
Okay. This might make me watch the NBA. Is this regular? Does this happen on the reg?
I don't think so. It should.
Like how was I not aware of this, Reese?
What was
how do I
Monday
know?
Night, didn't you have basketball practice?
I did.
Plus like, FCS championship?
I did, but at the same time, like it should have come into my wavelength that my close personal friend, Mr. Dog, was doing color.
Oh, he didn't text you?
No, he should have. Let me know. I mean, we have fist bumped. Like, we got it. That's crazy that he's... I mean, that's unbelievable. And also, just as unbelievable is if you would have told me that the 15-year-old me that Snoop Dogg would be like the face of NBC's Olympic coverage and like on their basket? I would have said, you're out of your mind. No chance. We're a long ways from gin and juice, boys.
So this is an amazing thing. This is hilarious. This that he's here right when Steve Kerr gets ejected and you get all that. Was this just a bit? Was he just there for a little bit, or was he doing the whole game? Because if this is just a momentary part of the game, I'm okay with it. I don't know if I could do the whole game.
He was on the call the entire broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do the whole game with Snoop Dogg.
I misspoke. The second half.
Even like Manning cast, I think, a little bit.
He popped on, yeah, after halftime.
Even that is a lot, and good on him, but Snoop is everywhere. Are we getting too much Snoop? Like you said, he's in the Olympics. He does the voice or whatever. He's popping up at half. Snoop is everywhere. Are we getting too much Snoop? Is that possible?
Not yet. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I want to say this was promotion for that Olympics because he's going to be doing a lot of their coverage, a lot of their special coverage.
Yeah.
So maybe you can get Mr. Dog updates
from
Milan Cortina when that happens, in about 30 days from now?
He had the softest hands I've ever shook. Snoop.
I buy that.
Just well taken.
A lot
care.
Of lotion.
Lots of moisturizer. He was in a good spot.
ESPN reported earlier this week the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young are working on a trade. The Hawks and Young's agents have maintained dialogue over his future over the past several months. The franchise elected not to offer an extension for the 27-year-old. He led Atlanta to the postseason 3 times in his 8 seasons, including a run to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2021. He's currently out because of a right quad contusion. Was an All-NBA selection in 21 and 22. He's averaged 25.2, 9.8 assists per game. He led the league in assists last season with 11.6. Thing or not a thing?
I guess it depends on where he goes and what the next kind of version of his career is. Atlanta is very lucky. They get a lot of deserved heck for this. But remember, they traded Luka Doncic for him. They swapped. Like that, they could have had Luka. That could have been in the mix. But Trey's been really good. I mean, he's been an All-NBA. He's been an All-Star. He put butts in seats. There was a time that he had the hottest shoe in youth sports. His very first Adidas shoe. Like, all the kids wanted that. I remember NBC had him. Now I don't think he's with anybody. But not a thing, because I don't think this is going to shift the power in the NBA at all.
Yeah, this isn't a thing. I guess maybe it depends on what team he goes to. If he goes to the exact right team, maybe it will give them a piece to get over the hump, but I don't know if that team would be able to give up the assets needed to acquire him, so I don't think this is much of a thing. When Trae Young first got into the league, he sure seemed to be a needle mover, maybe the guy that could take the mantle for Steph Curry, but I don't think that's the case now.
He's too ball dominant. I don't think he's fun to play with. You know, he probably could evolve into some sort of a percentage of Steph, like just an off-ball shooter. Like maybe that's where he eventually gets to. Final hour of the program up next. We'll get you officially endorsed. We kick it off with, hey guys, we're test driving 2 segments. We'll see if we can get that done. Spencer Holbrook on the transfer portal coming up at 11:30. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
And Doves Are Us.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today
at v.org.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Since the 15-day transfer portal window opened last Friday, 19 Buckeyes have put their names in. Five have found new places to play, including running back James Peoples, who committed to Penn State yesterday. Former five-star wide receiver Quincy Porter is Ohio State's most recent portal departure. He's got 4 years of eligibility remaining. The Buckeyes also have to replace Carnell Tate next season. Number 17 became the first Buckeye with remaining eligibility to declare for the NFL draft. That'll take place in Pittsburgh on April 23rd. Jeremiah Smith says he's not going anywhere. In NFL news, the Ravens fired John Harbaugh on Tuesday. There are seven current vacancies, including the Cleveland Browns. In the NHL last night, the Blue Jackets fell to the Sharks 5-2 in San Jose. It was game one of a four-game road trip. Jackets are in Vegas on Thursday. And in college hoops, Ohio State's out west at Oregon tomorrow night at 10:30. Buckeyes are at Washington on Sunday. Listen to the Jake Diebler radio show at noon today on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we commence on this, where are we confidence-wise that a lot of people were asking for it in the YouTube chat and wanting two segments of this. Where are we with that? Are we confident that we can get that done?
Okay. Confidence is at a 10.
Yeah, I think we kind of decided we were good, and then in the break we got rushed on the YouTube.
Good job at everybody.
So we got Twitter. A full slate. All right,
we got enough.
Okay, we got enough. All right, so let's hit it. Time for a little hey guys.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag hey guys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
And are we doing it? We got the $50 too.
We have the gift card.
We do.
We have a $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank. Free distillery tour and the tasting for up to 10. Best blended whiskey in America, 3 years running. Best vodka on planet globes. That's not me. That's San Francisco World Spirits Competition. They know what they're talking about. So check them out. Three locations. Enjoy yourselves. Hit it, fellas.
So Chimney Chikwas Burner in the YouTube chat understood the assignment better than anybody because he sent us a couple of them that I could carry us maybe for the next 45 minutes or at least until we've got to get to Spencer Holbrook at 11:30.
All right.
His first question is he's going to Europe for the first time this spring, and he says that travel stresses him. And then he asks, have any of us ever encountered international travel mishaps?
Mishaps?
But real quick, before you answer, this is a bad job out of me.
Chimney Chikwa.
Hell yeah.
You know that every single wall-to-wall sports that I did with Tim May, which was about 175,000 of them, or every bowl special I did with Tim May for the entire time I was at Channel 10, every time he did a mic check for the director, he would go, Chimney Chikwa, Chikwa, Chimney Chikwa. He would do that every single time.
And did he
laugh?
I
bet he still does. Yep. I bet every single time he would do it. I have not had international. I did miss a day of a trip to the Virgin Islands to visit my brother once. I lost a day en route in Miami, but it was Miami, so it was okay. I don't think I've ever had any. All of my travel mishap happens in the country. My wife's been to Europe a bunch, and the one constant thing that she always says is pack very little. Their public transit is incredible. Their ease to move around the country is very easy, and that it'll be far better than you think, far easier than you think to be able to do it. So that's kind of her consistent message on that.
So I have never been anywhere flying internationally. I've been to Canada, Mexico, things like that. But I've never been anywhere internationally, so I wouldn't really know or have anything on this. But we did talk about this the other day, though, with traveling. I luckily have never had a real bad experience traveling. Like, other than, like, a weather delay at the airport for maybe 3 hours, I have never had, like, a canceled flight, stuck in an airport, any of that.
That's nuts. I mean, I've spent the night in the Salt Lake City airport on the floor, the Denver airport on the floor. I've been told that when I reached Newark, New Jersey, that I was, in the words of United, home. So New Jersey is not Ohio. It's definitely not home. So, yeah, it's been another nightmare for me through the years.
Now, I did spend the night one time in the Orlando airport, but that was by choice to get a cheaper flight on Friday night than Saturday morning, and I just slept there waiting for my buddies to get in the next morning.
Yeah.
What the missus says about transportation in Europe is absolutely spot on. Flew to England about 10 years ago, ended up in Amsterdam, and getting a train from England, or get the channel, actually, it's the under the English Channel, is very quick and easy. And then a train from Paris to Amsterdam, awesome. It doesn't cost you, doesn't cost you anything. You can drink on the train, and you can walk pretty much anywhere once you get off the train in Amsterdam. I would say on the flight across the Atlantic Ocean, I got upgraded to the emergency seat, nice. More legroom.
That's a win.
So, the absolute opposite of travel mishaps. For your boy, Eric. I got this on Twitter from Rodney. He asks, hey, guys, what's a New Year's resolution that you wish you could follow through with? He says, for him, it's learning how to become ambidextrous.
Oh, jeez.
Which, can you learn?
No, I don't think. I think it's the traditional ones, right? Like, there's no question that I could eat better. There's no question I could exercise more. But I've kind of reached the Kenny Banya part of my life where when people say do this and I just go, why? And I know that I should. I know it should be better. But it just those are probably the obvious ones that I should do better at. We eat pretty well, eat pretty healthy. But a few things that I do that I probably shouldn't. And probably those. There's nothing I can think of that's like, oh, I really wish I could knock this out. I don't think like being ambidextrous is something that you can resolve to be.
You can practice.
At my age, like if I resolved to like learn how to surf, I think I've missed the boat on that. And that's something I think would probably be pretty cool to be good at. Too late for that for me. So probably golf. Like I wish I was a better golfer, but I think I'm too late for that too.
So I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy, but for the past couple of years, I keep trying to read more, and I don't do it as much as I should. Like, I think I only really get into it and read when I'm traveling. I've knocked out a couple of books in airports or on flights and things like that, but I have tried to read more the past couple of years, and I just have not done a good job of it. I will say this, every year I want to get new teams, but I just can't. Like, I can't quit them. I wish I could. I was born into the Browns and Reds. I kind of chose the Blue Jackets, but like, I wish I could get rid of the Browns and Reds. I just can't.
We'll go to the YouTube chat. Timeless Buckeye asks, hey guys, Dad is turning 60 in 3 weeks. He's more of a tequila guy, but says he was interested in getting him something from High Bank. And then he asks, what would you three recommend? He's not a drinker. He notes.
I should check before I do this, but our picks are incredible, and I know a lot of it's gotten sold out. I don't know if there's any of it left. I was at the Westville location right around Christmas, and they still had some left, so I saw them there. Actually signed a bottle for somebody who was in there when I was in there, which the timing of it was pretty cool. The Whiskey War is where to go on that. The vodka's unbelievable, as I've said many, many times. You know the other thing they do that's really cool? They put them in like a small mason jars, and they have the pre-made infusers. So you just buy one of those and then a bottle of Whiskey War. Like they had caramel apple and then apple pie. And I hadn't taken advantage of that before with them, but I picked some up at the Westville location. Those are great. Those are ready-made infusers. Those are good to go. So that would be, if you're looking for like a softer launch into whiskey from a tequila world, then that would be where you buy the bottle and buy the infuser, basically half a bottle fills an infuser, and then you've got, you know, three or four drinks there ready to go after they, and really it was ready to go after like probably 12 hours. It was ready to go.
So, Bo, I'm with you. I don't know if they have any, but if you could get your hands on the Pedro Jimenez double oaked that we picked, I would highly recommend that. That's my favorite thing that High Bank has put out. If you can't get any of that, I would say get your hands on some of the double oaked, because I think that double oaked has a good flavor, and I think it's not quite as high test as the Pedro Jimenez and some of their other stuff, so it might be an easier soiree into the whiskey. By the way, I'm not the biggest vodka drinker, but I picked up a bottle of theirs. I couldn't believe how cheap it was. It's winning world's best vodka,
yeah,
and it is priced very reasonably.
It's less than Tito's. And it's cleaner from a flavor standpoint. It's not close. Yeah.
We have time for one more here?
One more quick one, yeah.
All right. This, where is it? Phil. He asks, you come across a fortune teller who says she can tell you either the date you die or the cause of your death. Which would you rather know?
All right. We'll save that. We will get to that, among others, coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
It's a new
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Know what hope is? Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home, safe at school, and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund, because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect skies to be mostly cloudy today, but still mild with above average temperatures in the upper 40s. And then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with lows around freezing. For Thursday, a dry day ahead with mostly cloudy skies and warmer with highs in the mid to upper 50s. Rain develops late Thursday night, overnight into Friday with gusty winds and lows in the 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy, moonlights as man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy,
weekdays at 3.
The Fan. First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, the hey guys, it continues. That was a banger we had right before the break. Go ahead, Reese, and repeat that one.
So this was from Phil, and this was on the YouTube chat. He says, if you guys come across a fortune teller who says they can either tell you the date you die or the cause of the death, a cause of your death, which one are you picking?
Well, and the idea, I'm sure the idea is you can't change either one.
Oh, no, you cannot prevent it. You just get to know.
I would probably want the date because that would impact the way that I chose to live. Like, if I can't change either one, and it's finite, then I guess I'd rather know when than why. Both suck. I wouldn't want to know either one, but...
Yeah, I'm with you, Bo. Give me the date so I can make sure everything that was on the bucket list, everything that I wanted to do in life, I made sure I got that done. If I know how I die, it doesn't matter when I die, I won't know. So even if I knew it before, I'm not going to know after I'm dead. So give me the date so I can make sure that I can do everything that I need and want to do.
Yeah.
And if you knew how, it would maybe be like a Final Destination thing to any time you're like remotely close or around something that you've been told will kill you. You just take all, not the fun, but.
Well, like, yeah, you're right. Like if it's like you're going to die in a car accident, then you just never
getting
in
a car.
Ever again. You're just walking everywhere. So, yeah.
Scotty asks on YouTube, hey guys, this warmer weather brings muddy paws for pet owners. Mm-hmm. Would you rather freeze your ass off during the winter or get pockets of warmth and a dirty dog house?
This sucks.
Yes. Can confirm, but muddy paws are the worst.
It's the worst. And there's no way to... We have the little wipes and we try to wipe him and I've had like little warm water things for to stick Buddy's feet in and then dry them and it just... There's no way. Like, he just gets, he's a dog. He just gets dirty. And my dad would say, well, he's a dog. He should be outside. And okay, maybe, I don't know. I would say this, though. This time, because of how brutal it was, really from the third week of November on, where it felt like the highest temperature we had during that entire stretch, we had like one day right around Christmas that was pretty warm. But other than that, it was like the 20s and 30s the whole time. Like, I'll take this as just a brief respite. Because I know much more of the bad is coming. Now, I don't need this for a long time because this is also what I refer to as spring in Ohio. So I don't need a whole bunch of this because I know a bunch of this is coming. But I don't mind it. So I'll take the trade-off for a little bit of warmth to have the muddy paws.
So one of the reasons I do not own a dog is this right here. I mean, in a condo, it's kind of tough because they don't have a yard to run in. But look, I don't have time in my life right now to clean up a dog either. I'm not home enough and whatnot. Yeah. So this is part of the reason why I don't own a dog is because of these times right now where I just can't clean up after it all the time and all of the mud and all of the dirt. I'm not one who is really bothered by the cold, quite frankly. So give me the cold and I don't want to clean up the mess.
Andrew asks on Twitter, hey guys, the portal, the transfer portal, is actually a time machine that can go back over the last 5 years. Who would be the biggest get overall, and who would you want for Ohio State?
Oh my goodness gracious.
That's a good one.
Last 5 years, who would have been the biggest get overall? Well, I think we have who would have been, and that's Jeremiah, probably. Yeah. He probably would have been the biggest. Would last 5 years, would Caleb Williams, after winning the Heisman at USC, that might have been bigger? I'm trying to think of the last 5 years and who am I not thinking? Because that's post-Burrow. I was thinking quarterbacks. That's post-Burrow. So that
was CJ.
CJ and Caleb and no Fields. Yeah.
Chase Young would have been a big fish.
Is he more than 5 years, though, right?
Oh, maybe. Oh, much more. Yeah, much more.
And this is somebody you'd want to get, right?
You'd want to get. Yeah.
I think Ohio State got it. I think it's Caleb Downs.
Yeah.
I think that's the guy. Now, maybe there's a big offensive tackle. Joe Alt, maybe.
Caden Proctor would have been big for Iowa.
Penei Sewell.
think of the we have such first world problems that we're not just immediately going quarterback.
I really think it's Caleb Downs for Ohio State. That's the guy that you would have wanted and changed things more than anyone.
CJ was here his last year here was 22.
Yes.
Then it's Caleb Williams. It's Caleb Williams because you would have went from CJ. Caleb's freshman year at USC was 22. And then that's when he won the Heisman. And then 23, it would have been Caleb Williams because you could have gone C.J. Stroud into Caleb Williams. There wouldn't have been the...
You wouldn't have had McCord.
Wouldn't have had the Kyle McCord year. You would have went Caleb Williams for a year.
AR asks on the YouTube chat, hey guys, on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about Ohio State football being able to make a playoff run with all of this portal stuff going on?
I'm not worried about that at all, but I do think folks are going to have to get used to massive programs like this one, like Alabama. Like what happened to Alabama against Indiana is going to happen. It's going to happen to Ohio State one of these years, where you're going to get bombed on a big stage because some team is full of portal players that are 22 years old. And you're going to have to change the way that you view the sport, guys. You are. There aren't going to be this sustained run of 11-1, 12-0, 10-2. Like, you're going to have some years where you miss it, because these rosters are going to turn over every year until they go to pay these players and do collectively bargain. Until that happens, then you're going to have year-over-year change, and you're going to have to get used to the fact that your team sometimes is going to miss it. You're going to get used to the fact that guys who you can't wait to see develop and see what they are as juniors, that's over. All of that's over right now until they get contracts and they treat them as professionals the way that they should have years ago. So, I'm not worried at all. I think you're going to have a Heisman finalist back at quarterback. We had Dalton Wasserman on yesterday. He said he's the number one pick in the NFL draft. He's the number one quarterback returning to college football. So you got him. I got Jeremiah. Okay, that's a pretty good jumping off point. They're going to make the playoff. Can they win it? Who knows? That'll be determined over the next couple of weeks in the portal in terms of who loads up on all the talent that's out there.
And, Bo, as you're saying that, I'm looking up at the screen, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing Jordan Reed's mock draft for this year. And he's got Arvell Reese and Carnell Tate at 4 and 5. You just said what you said about Jeremiah and Julian Sain for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried because Ohio State has kind of proven that they've been at the forefront of all of this. And I think the brand travels and guys are going to want to come here and get developed by coaches here. Even if you lose coaches, we've lost coaches in the past at Ohio State and they still replace them with guys that get guys to the next level. So I am not worried about it. I am with you, Bo, where we're just going to have to change our mindset on everything. Mm-hmm. We can't, and I never thought this was sustainable, but you can't keep getting 5 of the top 10 wide receivers every year.
No.
It's just not going to happen. And that never makes sense anyway, because you need to get offensive linemen and other players too.
Yes. Eric asks on Twitter, should the Browns trade their second first-round pick to the Arizona Cardinals for Route Man Marv?
Yeah, I would. I still believe in him. I do think that he's right up there with Justin Fields for me in terms of two guys I thought were sure things in the league. And I think Fields was undone by the coaching situation in Chicago and all that came with that. I don't know what's gone on with Marv. My theory on it is he didn't work with Kyler because Marv is a precise route runner and Kyler's a freelancer. And so Marv didn't do well in the freelance world. But I just would have thought he would have had a much bigger impact through 2 years than he's had. But if I'm the Browns and I can get him for a 2, I probably would do it.
So I read that wrong at first, Reese. I thought it said, should they trade both of their first round picks? And I'm like, absolutely not.
No, but it's if just you a can trade,
it's their second first round pick, the Jacksonville pick.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
No,
I wouldn't do that.
So that's looking like 28 right now?
No, I wouldn't do that.
I would trade 28 for Marv if you don't get a receiver with your first pick. Because who knows, maybe they're at their first pick at 6, they think Carnell Tate is the way to go, or Jordan Tyson, or whoever. So if that's what they do with their first pick, then no. Because then at that second pick, you've got to go offensive line, offensive tackle, I believe. But I would trade the 28th pick in the draft for Marv.
Why hasn't it been better for him?
Kyler. That's what I think.
But even still, there should have been a game here or there. Like that Wilson guy went off with Jacoby Brissett. Why did he not go off?
Well, and Marv had a couple games with Brissett that were pretty good, too.
Yeah, but he wasn't even the number one guy there. It was that, was it, what's his name? The Wilson guy ended up being the number one guy for them this year.
Is it Mac or Mark?
It's Michael Wilson.
Mike.
Michael Wilson had 1,000 yards for them this year. And his game log, I mean, it's a lot like Marv's with Kyler, but with Jacoby, he got 18 targets in a loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Got 15 passes, 185, 10 for 118, 11 for 142. Like, why did Marv not have a game like that?
Well, and I'm guessing...
I don't have the answer. I don't know. And I loved him when he was here.
I'm guessing it's easier for Michael Wilson when the defense is kind of overshadowing too, Marv. Which
I don't think they
I'm
are. I think they were going to McBride. Like, here you go. I mean, this backs up the point. This isn't fun because we love him. But, like, against... He had 10 targets against Dallas, had 7 for 96. He had 12 targets against Seattle, had 3 for 33. Just weird. Weird.
We got time for one more before we pick a winner. Baker, have the button ready. Chimdichiquas Burner.
Chimdichiqua.
Asks, if you could bring in anybody to have a weekly hit on the show, dead or alive, who would it be?
Larry David. If he'd, like, if he was in, it'd probably be LD. That'd be the most fun for me.
Man, it would be so awesome to just sit back and talk sports with Keith Jackson.
That's
all the games
one.
He did. God, that'd be good.
I'm trying to think from a Buckeye perspective, if Earl Bruce was always on the radio difficult because you didn't have enough delay to dump him, and he just the F-bombs would fly. In other words, you cannot say on the air, but I think he'd be a good one because he gets so animated all the time.
I'm going to just tell you this. And I did the coach's show with Earl for 8 years with Earl and Coop. So I knew him very, very, very well. I used to play golf with him every Friday at the Golf Club of Dublin with Dom and Moose and Coop and Bruce. And it was some of the greatest memories of my life and some of the most fun I ever had. There is nothing funnier, and God rest his soul, than Dom Tiberi winding up Earl Bruce. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I will just give you a little, one little story. I'll see if I can get Dom to tell it on Tuesday. Earl had a bad experience at the border in Canada once. And from that point on,
he did all Canadians.
Like, it was like one bad experience at the border and hated all Canadians. So anytime Dom would see him, hey coach, you see that Canadian ice hockey team? What do you think of that there? What do you think of that?
Let me tell you something. I've got nothing to do with Canada. You hear me? Nothing.
I mean, that was on the reg. He would go at the Golf Club of Dublin. He would take a ball on a tee because they didn't have senior tees, and he didn't like that they didn't have senior tees. We'd be in the middle of hitting tee shots, and he would walk in the middle of the fairway and tee up like 200 yards out. Who's stopping him? You?
He's Earl Bruce.
You, Lieutenant Weinberg? No one's stopping him. He's Earl Bruce. Spencer Holbrook in 2 minutes on the chaos that is the portal. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how cute you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Good girl,
you don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to head out on that Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline conversation with our buddy Spencer Holbrook. Covers the Buckeyes at Letterman Row and is all over the portaling, which is pretty wild. When you're knee-deep in the muck in it like you are, buddy, and you're far more into it than even we are here, and I think I'm in it quite a bit, when you talk to people who aren't, what is the biggest disconnect that you hear from fans in terms of what they perceive is happening in the portal and what is actually happening in the portal?
First time. This is great. I think it's just the perception of Ohio State being cheap and, you know, get it done, as everybody likes to say. Just, you know, a guy goes in the portal and instantly it's just a fan reaction of, well, go get it done. I just don't think it's that easy. And I think that there's some people at Ohio State who are getting a little frustrated with that notion that yeah, they can just go get everything done. Look, Ohio State would love to field a roster that's 105 guys who make $1 million, but they don't have $105 million annually to give guys. So now it's a trade-off. And I think Ohio State's trying to be more like the NFL in this regard, where, yeah, you're going to pay 30 or 40 guys what you believe their market value is. And after that, your roster is probably not going to look the same. You know, the days of Jackson Smith and Jigba sitting on the bench in 2020 while three other first-round picks are running around there, that's long gone. That guy's going to go get whatever he wants in the portal. And so the disconnect, I think, has never been greater. But also, you know, it's on us to try to inform people, like, hey, they're doing what they need to field the best roster they can, while also understanding that, like, if a guy who's never played before comes in and demands, like, seven figures or double money, they're just not going to do that because they can go get a productive guy for probably not as big of a price tag. And they're going to go try to find somebody who's going to help them win next year that they know has already been productive.
Yeah, Spence, I've tried to drill that in here in the last week or so here on the show. Just this notion of the old way of roster building is done. You're not going to, and Quincy Porter's the most recent example of it, but you're not going to do that anymore. That's over. Guys aren't going to sit. There's a couple of choices you have. You can either, for Ohio State, one of my big beefs this year was they didn't play with enough tempo. Tempo would have helped, right? Because you could have maybe got those guys in. But even still, it's one of those things where you have to decide where your money's going to be spent. And I think you even saw it in the last recruiting class, Spence. Like, I said this multiple times this week on the show, Spence, I would not ever pay for an 18-year-old five-star anything unless they're Jeremiah Smith. I just wouldn't. I don't think you need to. And is that shift subtly happening at Ohio State right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think Jeremy Birmingham said it on his morning show this morning for 97.1, but Ohio State's probably going to take probably 10 fewer guys in the 27 class than they did in the 26 class. Because the strategy has to change. You're not going to pay 25 guys to come onto campus your first year because they're going to come into your office next year and ask for a raise. And the 27 guys are also going to want some money. So I think they're going to go out. They're going to find 15 portal or, you know, recruiting impact guys who can make an impact in year one. Because if you're getting paid, you have to make an impact. And so I think they're going to shorten the recruiting cycle. They're going to make sure that they get, like I said, 15 guys who they think can contribute as freshmen, and then they're going to leave the rest of the roster for the portal. There's no other option at this point. You know, I think Oregon did it this year. They ended up taking 21, but really it's like an 17 or 18 guy class. And then they go raid the portal for the rest of the things because they're only going to take guys that they think can make an impact. There's no point to pay somebody to sit on the bench anymore. It's almost the same thing as, you know, a team goes and spends in the free agency in the NFL, and then they draft four or five guys that they really like, and the rest of them, it's, you know, and you got those guys on a rookie contract. You hope that they can produce on their rookie deal because it's going to be hard to retain them all in free agency. Well, welcome to that world now in college football. I think there was no transition period at all. Right now, I think it went from the old way to the new way overnight, and Ohio State's working to adapt to that. Maybe they were slow to it. Maybe they're right on time. I'm not sure yet. We'll have a year of data next year to wait and see if they adjusted on time.
Yeah, we will. And I think that, what honestly, Cignetti changed it for everybody. It was like, oh, I'd like to have a whole team of 22-year-olds who are proven commodities. And I think you're seeing more in that, where that's the way it's going to go. I said this too, Spence, like, Ohio State never has to start a freshman quarterback again. Like, I don't know if that, and Julian was awesome. I wouldn't trade him for anybody, but, like, you don't ever have to do that again. And I think about that at the quarterback rooms that we've had with all these guys and sit for a couple of years and eventually they get a play. That's done. Sam Levitt is available now. I've seen him play. He's really good. He's probably going to end up at LSU or Tennessee or whoever, but, like, you can, the minor leagues are
your contemporaries in the sport, are they not?
Yeah, and I would almost argue that Julian could be the last redshirt freshman quarterback to play at Ohio State.
Right.
Because if a guy, if you bring a guy in as a five-star and he sits behind, you know, like a Will Howard for a year and comes in to renegotiate, well, Ohio State might not want to negotiate with that guy because they have still haven't seen him play. Mm-hmm. And so they'll just go get another Will Howard in the future. And I think that's where we're heading. You know, by the time Tavian St. Clair plays, if he ever does play here at Ohio State, and I think he probably will, he'll be a redshirt sophomore. And mm-hmm. and they'll have 2 years of data in practice against a really good secondary to see what he can do. At the same time, if there's a six-year guy or whatever, and we keep seeing these veteran rosters win national championships, Ohio State's included last year, mm-hmm. who's to say, you know, Ohio State's not going to be among the programs, like you said, who use every other program in the country as a minor league. And Ohio State is also a minor league for other programs as far as practice, because a guy like Quincy Porter basically was on Ohio State's AAA team this year, and now he's going to be in the majors next year for somebody else.
Yeah, and Spence, like, let's get into some of these names that you're hearing. You know, obviously Ohio State's been kind of in on Chaz Coleman going all the way back to recruiting. He's a big fish. He's number one rated defensive player that's available. I know they're going to be active in receiver. They got to get a lot done on the two offensive line, the offense and defensive line. How would you kind of categorize the way that they are prioritizing the people that are available in the portal?
Yeah, I think they're doing a pretty good job right now of being selective, but also understanding that aggression is mandatory. It's kind of the order of the day. You know, the guy like Kay and Lee from Auburn, the corner, they need a nickel corner. He played outside at Auburn. He's going to play nickel at wherever his next stop is. And Ohio State really likes him. He was a guy who they were in on in high school, and he committed to Ohio State, flipped to Auburn on signing day. He's now been developed at Auburn, and you think that he can help you at Ohio State. Like you said, Chaz Coleman, I think, is obviously the one that everybody points to. But as Berm reported yesterday, like, Ohio State hosted Wisconsin linebacker Christian Allegro yesterday. That is a player who was a diamond in an otherwise rough Wisconsin defense this past year. He was awesome mm-hmm. for the Badgers, and Ohio State thinks that he can really help them, and he kind of comes off the edge a little bit. These guys are all really good athletes, and can they do multiple things? I think so. So that's probably where the portal aggression is coming right now, is like, hey, this guy might be a freak athlete. He also has some proven production. Let's go get him. Obviously, you said offensive line. I think they're going to maybe slow play that. I know that they're bringing back, from what we've heard, they're going to bring back a lot of the pieces from there, and they do trust their development still, even though it's not really as much a developmental sport anymore. But a guy like John Walker on the defensive line, like, hey, UCF thought he was really good. He was really productive there. Bring him in, see what Larry Johnson and Mitch Marotti can do for a year. Let's see what happens there. You know, they've still got some other positions they need. Portal or kicker, obviously, in the portal. They have mm-hmm. to find a kicker because there's not even one on the roster right now. So, you know, they're being selectively aggressive. I like what they're doing right now. I know that's not what fans want to hear because, you know, you see some other schools landing like 10, 12 guys at a time. But Ohio State's got its process, and whether it's right or wrong, you know, some people think it's wrong already. I think we've got to wait and see, because if the Buckeyes go out and, you know, supplement what they already have on the roster with seven or eight guys that they think are really, really high level guys, and they win a national championship, well, maybe they have the portal thing figured out and other programs are still trying to catch up to the idea.
Yeah, and everything I'm hearing, they're trying to retain some of their other guys that are, a lot of people thought were earmarked for the NFL, that they're trying to get offers in front of them to keep them here. So there's a lot happening on this side of things. Let me ask you this. Does Tim May still do mic checks? We used to do all that stuff with him. Did he still do mic checks with Chimdi Chekwa?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he does. Every time still? I finish the video with Tim for years, he yells cut as loud as he can after the fact, to where we'd be in an empty stadium and everybody who's cleaning up would look over and who is that?
Right.
Yeah, it's Chimdi Chekwa and cut as loud as possible before and after every video.
You do, and Spence is a very good Tim May too, so it's a very good one. Mine's pretty good.
Don't get me in trouble now, Bo. I'm not sure.
I won't. But you're good.
You know what I'm saying.
All right, buddy. Good stuff. You've done a great job covering this stuff. It's been cool to watch your coverage, and we'll continue to do so. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks, Bo. Always appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Spencer Holbrook covers the Buckeyes and is crushing it on the portal at Letterman Row. And follow him, and you'll get a better idea of. There's a big misconception about what's happening, what people think is happening, what's actually happening in the portal at the moment. Get your officially endorsed and three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Hair volume.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Can't get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
We ask parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad, and I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed, and he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about, realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
In all of that, we had forgotten to give away a winner for the Hey Guys. So was it Timeless Buckeye who had... Was that the one that we decided
His dad's birthday's in 3 weeks.
Dad's birthday, that's right. And he's at High Bank, and so that's perfect. So you can, that's on us. That's on us. Enjoy it. I know that you will. Timeless Buckeye, your winner. And I think that worked pretty good. We'll see if we can keep that up. And a pretty good little test run of a two-segment Hey Guys edition of the program. What do we have in the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan Poll asks, with the college football playoff semifinals starting tomorrow night, if you were forced to choose, which team would you like to see win the CFP National Championship? 65% of respondents say Indiana.
Really?
19% say Oregon, or say Ole Miss. 14% say Oregon. 2% the U.
Yeah, I get that part of it. I guess I want Ole Miss for the chaos.
I'm surprised that many people picked Ole Miss for the simple fact that they do not want an SEC team.
I'm surprised that many people picked Indiana because I don't think they realize what a threat Indiana is.
A direct threat.
Direct. Direct threat. All right, it's a first Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed because everyone deserves two Fridays.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
So I was going to go in a different way here, but then I was when we had the question about High Bank, I was reminded of the infusers that they have, and they are spectacular, and I'm going to make the infusers my officially endorsed. They're ready to go. They're in little mason jars. They're prepackaged. All you do is pour the brown that you prefer on it, and you are good to go. I tried the caramel apple one, which was a delight. I also tried the apple pie one, which was also a delight. But just go into one of their retail locations, and they're just sitting there behind the register. Pick one of them up. They're totally worth it. They're ready to go by the next day, and they last for up to 30 days. So it's kind of a no-brainer if you're looking for some of those infused cocktails that you could have. They're ready to go, and they are a delight. They've done the work already for you, so certainly good enough for your officially endorsed on this fine first Friday. All right, fellas, three things. Hit it.
One, two, three things.
All right, number one for me. The word of the day for adolescent boys is texture. Texture. And what they want is texture in their hair. So what they do to acquire and achieve this texture is they take a glob of junk and they pour it in their hair and work it in, and then they just hand in a light socket, have it go in a million directions. It's awful. It looks terrible. They look terrible. Like, even in the back, they're trying to, like, pull out the back of their... It's nuts. It's nuts. Every time I think boys' hair can't get worse, something like this happens and makes it worse. It's awful. I did everything I could to try to dissuade the boys, but there must be something on social media that's telling them about texture, because that's what they're all going for. It can't stop soon enough. It cannot stop soon enough.
We talked about, we've been talking about Indiana, and we'll be talking about Indiana, but Indiana football for what feels like the next couple of years. Mark Cuban gave an interview with Front Office Sports, and he told the publication that he gave a big number to the Hoosiers in 2024, and they asked him what he followed that up with in 2025. Quote, let's just say they're happier this year than last, end quote. They've got a That's billionaire. It. Texas Tech's got a billionaire. Nike's got a billionaire.
Yep.
For Ohio State, there is no billionaire.
Not anymore.
Need a billionaire.
Yep.
First thing for me, this might be the most crazy athletic feat I've ever seen. I don't know if you saw this from Victor Wembanyama, but it was like they were doing warm-ups and shoot around, and like four balls were all stuck in the net, and they were all in there simultaneously. Okay. Victor Wembanyama jumps and kicks one of the balls out of there so all of them can fall down. And it wasn't like
he kicked it out.
It wasn't like he Pele kicked. He just jumped straight up and kicked like a punter would, and kicked the basketball out of the hoop. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it before.
He's an alien. Like, in every possible way, he's an alien. Number two for me. So, buddy, Vic Garrity, we talked yesterday about how the NBC got him all panicked that he had ringworm. We're convinced that he hasn't, but he still has his vet visit today and to go get checked out and get the abrasion checked out, and we'll see what all comes of all of that. And it occurred to me, I was having this conversation with my wife. She's like, and I'm like, where are you going? And she's like, oh, buddy's got to go to the vet. It's his appointment. I'm like, wasn't he just there like 6 months ago or something? She's like, yeah, we take him every 6 months or so. And I'm like, I started to think back to my youth. I don't think one of our dogs ever went to the vet in their life. Like, the only time our dogs went to the vet when it was like, okay, it's time to put them down. That's the only time I ever remember. Now, I don't know if our dogs were just incredibly healthy or that we just didn't pay attention to their little illnesses that happened along the way. But I'm telling you, I don't ever remember us ever on the Ponderosa taking my dad or mom taking the dog to see a vet, ever. Not once.
Yeah, it's every 6 months for Odie, and it feels like, yep, if you asked him, he'd need to go every other day. Connor Hughes of SNY says the New York Jets are committed to Aaron Glenn. They should not be if John Harbaugh is interested in your job.
No.
If he shows any interest, if he responds to your "you up" text, you should hire John Harbaugh.
Well, here's the other thing about the Aaron Glenn situation. Like, it seemed like that team quit on him in a big way. So that tells me that he didn't have the room. And that's always something I pay attention to when it comes to NFL coaching searches. Is the give a damn there all the way through? And I will for, and I, again, I think it's both that Kevin Stefanski is a really good football coach and it was time for a change there. But at the same time, that team did play hard for him the last 2 weeks.
So I had written down as my second thing, Fiesta Bowl fruit baskets. Okay. But I'm going to save that for tomorrow because, speaking of the Browns, I saw that they have scheduled interviews for tomorrow with both of their offensive and defensive coordinators, Tommy Rees and Jim Schwartz. And then I also saw that they have requested to talk with Bengals offensive coordinator Dan Pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I understand that one. I don't know if I get that. I'm not sure what the Browns are doing. Is Pitcher much different than Kevin Stefanski?
He's got to have a connection to Andrew Berry, is my guess. And you also have to remember with some of these, they're under the guise of head coaching vacancies, but they could be interviewing them as coordinators.
Because,
you know what I mean?
Doesn't it feel like Callahan's coming? I mean, they should, Cincinnati, talk to Brian Callahan.
If they can get his dad to come too, yeah.
Yeah.
And that one just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think there's probably more to that, Bake. I think it might be kind of what I was laying out for you there. Number three for me, while I was bouncing around after some of the sports and stuff last night, I landed on The Hunt for Red October. That's great. That's as rewatchable. Like, even the boys who weren't paying attention to anything were like, wait, what's going on? Who's this? Who's this Connery guy? Yeah, that one still plays. The rewatchability of shows and movies, there's still some value in the old cable from time to time, and it came through big last night.
I got a transfer portal update from On3. Now, the numbers I'm about to give probably aren't the absolute 100% correct numbers, but I don't know if you could find any of those anywhere. They've got about 2,421 players that have entered the transfer portal since last Friday. 568 of those have committed. That's about 23%. 9 have withdrawn their names. I don't know if there are 2,421 spots for everybody.
No.
That music means the Jake Diebler Show is up next. Following that, Rothman and Ice, they're loaded up. Adam Schefter at 1:30, Bobby Carpenter at 2, and Hockey and Hounds with Zach Werenski at 2:30.
You have that to look forward to, which is nice. Enjoy your first Friday. Act accordingly. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FIRST.